Blog Talk Radio.
Whoop, to all my motherfucking jugglers listening right now, juggling right on reach. Bringing duggers where I go, was painting for the wickedness. I'm flipping bitches wigs when I'm kicking with the wicked shit. The wickedness, the witches in the zombies eating up your dick. We twisted in sadistic motherfucker, now we spit the shit. Bringing duggers where I go, was painting for the wickedness. I'm flipping bitches wigs when I'm kicking with the wicked shit. The wickedness, the witches in the zombies eating up your dick. We twisted in sadistic motherfucker, now we spit the shit.
Yo, motherfucker, going hard, correction, my shit's raw, no protection. This is KR, bitch, we be worldwide. We can go with no reservations from the ride. The world's just like in their wars for the day.
Spitting off the wickedness, they keep it realistic. Didn't see this girl, that's all we're pissed. Cause horror, horror's losing it. I'm trying to spread the message to more. And it's fine, it's warm, it's off the fucking rain. I get mad through many storms. Plastic up and top and long term. I'm doing nothing, watch me fucking fuck on any type of fucking repercussions. Wickedness and witches, with the wicked shit. Wicked wishes, no predictions, how the fuck. We be living here as obsolete, man. With the darkness flow, strictly spitting wicked shit from a jug alone. Representing for myself, counting up real self. Fucking with me, it's bad for your health. You should already know this my shit that you heard. You never fucking learned, it's a verbal fucking burn. I'm spitting wicked shit with a hint of black magic. Ride a fucking radio, yeah, what up, Havoc?
Havoc getting energy, what a good mix.
What up, Havoc?
We always keep it real, y'all folks be faking. We bringing that wicked shit to your ear holes. Shang Tsung style, we consuming all them souls. I'm a cocky motherfucker, you can call me Kanye. Regular ride a radio, you know where the talent stay. Always on the phone in the middle of the night. If you hating bitch, well, we can fucking fight. We drawin' no men with the legs in our picks.
Bringin' duggers where I go, I'm speaking for the wickedness. I'm living bitches pigs when I'm kicking with the wicked shit. The wickedness, the witches in the zombies eating up your dick. We twistin' in statistic, motherfucker, now we spit the shit. Bringin' duggers where I go, I'm speaking for the wickedness. I'm living bitches pigs when I'm kicking with the wicked shit. The wickedness, the witches in the zombies eating up your dick. We twistin' in statistic, motherfucker, now we spit the shit.
Spinning that shit that's harder than the devil. So turn the fuck in, bitch, get on our level.
Whoop, what's good, motherfuckers? Welcome to Juggalo Rider with your host, Avid, co-host, Ghetto G. And we have the leader of Team Underdog with us as well, Whitney Payton. What is going on?
Yo, yo, what it do? How are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
I am good. I'm getting used to this being like, this is like afternoon for me. I like go to sleep at like 5 a.m. recently. I don't know what it is, but that's what's good. So what are you doing?
Shit, smoking a cigarette.
That's awesome. You host a radio show, smoke a cigarette. Okay, that's what's up. Keeping it real.
It's pretty much how it goes down.
Keeping it real. That's what's up. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt.
All right, so my first question. So let's jump into this. My first question for you is, what made you decide to get into music in the first place?
Right. I mean, it's weird because I didn't grow up in a very diverse area. I was right in the outskirts of Philly, PA. So Philly is very diverse, but I was on the outskirts. I was in a suburb outside of Philly. And it was really weird at first because I was doing like spoken word, like slam poetry kind of stuff. And I really knew that I wanted to put it over instrumentals and start rapping, which is obviously an entirely different thing when you're used to doing it a cappella for so long. And then you want to put it on a beat. It's like a whole other ball game, you know, but I had to really go into Philadelphia and knock on a lot of doors. And a lot of people kind of refused to record me. You know, I had to meet tons and tons of producers before one, and his name is Leon Kidd, and he was the producer for Major Figures, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but Gilly the Kid and everything out of Philly, some of the big heavy hitters out of Philadelphia were produced by this guy, and I'm really lucky that he took a shot with me and actually let me rap on some of his beats and gave me a chance, because at that time there weren't a whole lot of females in the game. There's definitely way more now. But at the time, it wasn't as heard of. So It was crazy, but it's been a crazy transition from spoken word to rap.
But it's definitely nice seeing a bunch of females come up right now.
No, I agree. I think that's what's up. I think it's cool. I mean, you need diversity in any genre. Like, it can't just be, you know, you kind of have a stereotype in your mind. Like, when you think of country, you probably think of one thing. When you think of opera, you probably think of a certain image, you know. So it's kind of cool to have diversity for each genre.
I definitely agree with that. Now, growing up, who would you say has been like your biggest and main influence?
I mean, I definitely was into Eminem. You know, I know anytime I'm going to say that and have the balls to say that on a Juggalo show, it doesn't always go 100% well, but it's like, to me, that's old beef between those guys, and obviously I had nothing to do with it. So, you know, M's always been a favorite of mine, Missy Elliott, if you're talking from the chick side. Eve is from Philadelphia, and Eve kills it. So, you know, there were other girls to look up to, but of course there weren't like girls coming out of the suburbs like me that looked like me. So it was, it was different, but, Lisa Left Eye Lopez as well from TLC. She kills it. So
yeah, she does.
Or killed it. Rest in peace. I mean, but she definitely put it down.
She definitely did. And as far as the whole Eminem thing, you're more welcome to mention him because up on here, you know, we got nothing but love for Eminem.
That's what's up. Yeah, I think it's like, when it comes to rappers and rap beef, it's like, I really feel even if two artists are beefing with each other, you know, it's like, if you don't have anything to do with it, you can like them both. Who's to say you can't like them both? So, that's how I feel.
And honestly, in my opinion, you know, the whole beef, like, you know, like all that beef really did was, you know, was elevate both ICP and MM's career to a higher level, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, very true, because it's one of the most talked about things, you know? Like, you all see, M still talks about it. I mean, what, his new album, he mentioned them how many times? So it's PR, and that's great. I would love it. If I was ICP, I'd be like, M mentioned me on the track. Whatever. Like, that's what's up. Either way, good or bad.
That's how you know you made it.
For sure. No, you know you made it when South Park disses you. Like, when you're on South Park, that shit is crazy. I can't wait. Like, I hope one day they make fun of me on South Park. That would be the best day of my life.
That would definitely be dope. Now, LG, man, do you got any questions you want to ask him, man?
Let's see. Where would you say your favorite place was to perform at?
Well, it's weird. As far as temperature-wise and shit like that and surroundings, I definitely like places like Arizona because it's warm. A lot of those West Coast states. But, I mean, Canada was sick to perform it. That was my first time doing, like, a tour out of the country when I did that tour with Twisted, that short run. It was, like, 8 different shows in Canada. And people there are mad nice. It's not like America. They're a little more polite than us over here. So I wasn't used to that. I was like, wow, they're pretty cool. And they have a hockey on their dollar bill. So that's what's up, too.
That's pretty sweet.
Instead of presidents, it's like hockey players and shit. I kid you not. I was like, no, this is play money. This is like Monopoly money. This isn't real. But that's what it is. It's like 3D. It's crazy looking, too. There's like holograms on it.
Just because of that, man, Canada won me over right now.
Yeah, I know they get a bad rap, huh? But they were actually pretty dope there. I was like, okay, I can hang with you guys. They appreciated it.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, most people don't know this, but you yourself are actually associated with Zoe Lett of the Hatcher Girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She used to live kind of close to me. I'm from Pennsylvania. She also lived in Pennsylvania. I think she kind of goes back and forth between, I don't know, Illinois and here. But, yeah, we used to kick it. She ran a radio show. I've been on her show a few times when she did that. Yeah, and we're homies. I haven't talked to her in a while. I think she's more of a family person at the moment. She has two kids, I think, but she's definitely fresh.
Yeah, she is. Let's see, we got a 410 with us. So let's see if they got some questions for you. 410, what's good with this?
What's that?
What's good, man? You got any questions for Whitney?
Nah, not really. I was just chilling for real. But
he was just trying to listen on the phone, probably. And he got put through. You high?
Nah, just chilling for real. I'm on fucking probation until March, so I can't smoke.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Yeah, I was the one that fucking, whenever I was shooting pool at the fucking Essex show, and you got on the pool table and shit.
Oh, sick. Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, I perform in from the stage, and there were pool tables all in the venue, and I was getting up on the pool tables. But I didn't fuck up your game, though, because
yeah,
I made sure I didn't kick any of the pool guys.
Fucked up the concentration. I was undefeated until that game.
Made him lose.
Why are you playing pool during my set? Why are you playing pool during my set?
I don't know.
At least I wasn't whacked, because I would probably get some of those pool balls thrown at me and shit if I was whacked, so I'm kind of glad.
The one guy, he was like one of the bouncers, and he got mad and shit. He's like, my brother paid so much money for this pool table. I'm like, dude, she's like 50 pounds. Like, really? He was mad as shit.
Yeah, he looked salty. I was wondering why. I didn't know that was why. I was like, I didn't mess up his game. Why is he salty? That's funny. I didn't hurt the pool table. That's great. What do you think? Gets kicked out of the show for ruining a pool table and shit.
He was fucking eating and shit. He wasn't playing with isolated beans. He was ready to throw them out the set before they even started, and they didn't do nothing.
Yo, I feel like I'm not a real performer until my set gets shut down in the middle of it and I get kicked out of a venue. So I think that's going to be my goal for 2014. I got to get kicked out of at least 5 venues.
You just got to get them more sets with isolated beings. They get kicked out of every show, usually.
That's funny, though.
Let's see. We also got a 5-1. We had a 5-1 with us.
I can't tell you how many times I got thrown out by security when they were performing.
Damn, that's a good show.
Hell yeah. Now, you know what? Since you mentioned the whole weed thing, I got to ask our very famous question that we love asking people. If we were to get you high, give you $75, and put you in a Walmart with no food and no drinks, what would you buy?
First of all, I don't get high because I get anxious as fuck. So I'd be paranoid standing in aisle 13 just shivering and shit. Thinking everyone's looking at me. So, no, it's like, but I would be hella anxious. But I'd probably, let's see. Does Walmart have coconut waters? Because I'd be on that coconut water game hardcore. Coconut water and ramen noodles. And then I'd probably be so high that I would put the coconut water in the ramen noodles and make cocoa noodles.
That's awesome and all, but we said no food and no drinks.
No food and no drinks. I'm high. I don't know what you're saying to me when you're giving me these instructions.
That's
no food and no drinks. Oh, shit. I would get one of those inflatable chairs because you know Walmart still has them. You know, when you're like, you guys probably not guys so much as girls, but those inflatable chairs, I don't know, men probably didn't have them as much. It wasn't a big thing for guys, but I'd be like, I'd probably be in someone's pool on an inflatable chair that I just acquired from Walmart being high.
Pool party, here we go.
Pool party in the fucking January.
Yeah, in the negative degree weather.
Where are you guys located?
Well, I'm in Pittsburgh.
Okay, yeah, so it's cool.
And I'm in Connecticut.
Okay,
so you guys aren't far off.
Nah, definitely not.
Not far off from Philly. I haven't played Connecticut yet, but I plan on it. I think it would be cool.
Hell yeah.
You definitely got to come back to Maryland for real.
For sure. We still have Essex guy on the phone. This is awesome.
he's going to be
gonna
the filler.
I'm going to come back. My mom's from Maryland, and that was my first time playing there, so that was cool.
Hell yeah.
Well, how was the show you did in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I did Pittsburgh on the Rugged and Raw tour with R.A. the Rugged Man and Potluck. And it was pretty tight. It was weird because the venue, they just had people who drank, like, far away from the stage, which it's not the first time. I mean, there's a few venues that have it like that where all ages by the stage, and then, like, if you want to drink, they have you in a designated area. And that's cool and all. I understand it, but it kind of sucks for the performers because we want you up by the stage, and I'm sure you want to be up by the stage when you're drinking, but,
that's
kind of lame.
Yeah, that venue hasn't always been like that. That's just something recently they did.
Right, and it wasn't a bad venue. It was cool, but like I said, there's a lot of venues like that. It's not the only one that separate you from the floor, and it just makes everything really separate and spread out. So it's kind of weird every time performing like that, but it was cool. Everyone was chill. I said, I'm from Pennsylvania. Everyone cheered. And then I said, I'm from Philly. And everyone booed because of the sports team. You know what I'm saying? Like, the sports teams are always so head-to-head. So I was like, oh, I saw it coming. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, damn it. The booing will begin. But
we once got that response up in Cleveland because we were from Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you guys that? Is it that much of a rivalry between Pittsburgh and Cleveland?
It was at one point. I think, but like, at the time, we were not so much.
Right. That's crazy.
Well, looks like we actually got a question from the room. Ghetto Bed, our good friend Destiny's back, and Whitney, she wants to know if you can be playing in Washington anytime soon.
Washington, D.C. or Washington State?
Washington State.
Washington State. I'm actually, starting March 1st, I go on a full national tour with 3-6 Mafia,
yeah, that's
which
awesome.
Is, they're also known as, now they're known as the Mafia 6 because Juicy J is not currently with them. So they're calling themselves the Mafia 6 now. I'm going on tour with them and Twisted Insane, and we're doing about 60 dates. Total, only about 15 or so have been announced so far, but it's going to be a total of 60. So it's a very, very good chance that I'm going to hit Washington State. I mean, I can't imagine 60 dates and we don't hit all the biggest, places. So I don't think that one has been announced yet, but it's really likely. It's likely.
Now, here's a question. I'm sure a lot of people, definitely want to know. How did Team Underdog come about?
just as I was saying before, how I kind of knocked on a bunch of doors to try to get people's attention, to try to get producers to record me before I could find anyone. Like, it looks like I'm winning now. It looks like I'm on top now. But for every yes I get for something, I've gotten a million no's. And I think every artist has faced that. So it's just like, it's like an indie movement. I kind of started at one time. I kept saying the word underdog a lot in my songs. It was like a key word I used. And then I was just like, you know what? Like, we'll start our own movement. Just call it Team Underdog. It's not like the name of a label I have or anything like that. I don't have labels still. I don't have management. So it's not the name of something per se, like a company. It's just really the name of the movement. So I just started saying, I'm a Team Underdog. I'm a Team Underdog. We just get told no all the time. And then people just started saying it to me. They're like, Team Underdog. So I just ran with it after it was being thrown around so many times that we were always the underdogs. And, by saying it, I'm not claiming that I'm the only one. I think that's a common misconception. They're like, what makes her more of, an underdog than anyone else? It's not that. It's just that the whole underground, and there's a lot of indie artists that are overlooked, and it's supposed to kind of represent everyone. So, yeah, that's how it came about, and I'm lucky there's a lot of people running with it. I have a street team I just established, you know, so we're going to be heavy promoing the new stuff I have coming out.
And that, you know what, speaking of the new stuff, you know, for people that do not know, On the Brink is coming out this month on the 31st. And actually, soon you will be having pre-sales. Now for the pre-sales, when can we expect the pre-sales to hit?
You know, I really expect pre-sales to be up within the next couple of days here. I mean, obviously I need to because it's getting closer to the end of the month. We just kind of wanted to decide what was going with pre-sales. I think at least people are going to get a signed copy of the album. Like, that's the least that you'll get, but I'm thinking there's also going to be posters involved and things like that. So I want to make it so it's worth your time to get the pre-sale. You know what I mean? So that should be within the next few days. And On the Brink, I'm really considering it my debut album. I know I have a lot of music out, but honestly, everything I've put out has been a free EP so far. I have not sold any of my music, you know, unless it's a collaboration I'm on for someone else. Like, say, when I was on the collaboration with DJ Clay, that was being sold, but that's his album. You know what I mean? I have not sold any of my albums yet, and they've just been 5 to 8 tracks, long EPs. You know, this one is a full length. This is a 14-track album, so it's really my debut.
Now, for people that are curious, how much will the album cost itself?
Let's see. It's hard without looking. I believe it's around $12 it comes to, because you got to think I'm selling it digitally and I'm also selling physical albums, so you'll have a few choices. Obviously, shipping, wherever you are, you got to figure that out. Our websites will tell you, depending on where you live, how much it's going to cost for shipping. But I would say it's going to be around $12 for the physical copy. If you buy songs individually, they're like 99 cents. So, I mean, it's going to, and there's 14 tracks, so it's going to make more sense for you to just buy it as an album rather than try to buy each one individually. You know, you'll save a couple bucks doing that. So it's reasonable. I know a lot of people don't have money these days, but I really feel, since I've given all my music out for free, you know, let's see how it goes.
Hell yeah. Now, you know, and now I got to ask, you know, for you personally, you know, like, what was it like for you to work with, you know, the likes of Busy Bone and Lazy Bone of Bone Thugs?
That was tight. I mean, that whole week was a whirlwind because I was out in Los Angeles. I was out there in, late in 2012 for the Grammy Awards. In 2012, and Lazy Bone was out there, and just like a mutual friend kind of knew him and was like, hey, like, let's go to the studio, let's meet up with Lazy Bone. I was like, yeah, right, because, you know, you do so many things, and 99% of the time it falls through. So I've learned not to get excited. Like, people used to be able to talk me up and be like, yo, we're going to go meet up with so-and-so, 50 Cent, you know, random shit like that, because everyone acts like they know everybody, or I'm so-and-so's cousin's brother's friend, you know, and then it never happens, and it doesn't follow through, so I just kind of didn't even get excited about it. But then when I was in the studio and he came in, I was like, dope, like, it was really cool, and the fact that he got on that track for one of my EPs, that was just kind of spur of the moment. Like, I recorded that at, like, 6 in the morning, like, I hadn't slept for, like, 3 days, like, my verse was half freestyled, his was, like, half of a freestyle, like, it was really, I'd never done something, I don't want to say it was sloppy, because it wasn't, like, the final product was not sloppy, but it was more just off the cuff than what I'm used to. I really like to kind of plan things, I like to sit there and write, and then, like, revisit it, but that was, like, really, like, you know, sometimes you're forced to kind of be off the cuff like that, so it was cool.
Oh, yeah. Now, of course, you know, for the album On the Brink, who would you say you were more excited to work with on it throughout the entire album?
Well, it's crazy because I have some, like, OG legends on that album, and then I have some, like, new kids as well. Like, I have people that are kind of around the same buzz that I am, on the same level, and we're going for the same goals. Like, Cryptic Wisdom's on that album, and I would say, you know, we're really fellow artists as far as when we started out and what level we're at now. And then I got people like Spice One, and that was really exciting for me. When someone like Spice One fucks with me, you know, I mean, that's beyond a compliment. He is such a legend. Roscoe is such a legend. So it's, you know, being Corrupt's brother and everything, it's just really an honor to be on tracks with them. And these aren't people that, like, you know, a lot of people have collabs that they went out and paid a bunch of money to get them on the tracks, and I'm really lucky this isn't that kind of situation. These are people that wanted to be on tracks with me, so I'm amped about it.
Hell yeah. Get OG, man, your turn, man.
Oh, I'm up. let's say, when you're writing your songs, where do you draw the most inspiration from?
It really depends. I mean, I'm like, some guys have made fun of me because, you know, there's a lot more, I don't want to say there's more men that listen to rap, but I feel like there's more men aware of the underground scene. And a lot of guys are like, what, you're like the Taylor Swift of rap or something, because I write a lot of relationship songs. So that's funny as hell when people have been saying that. But, you know, relationships are one of the best places to get inspiration, because I feel like you're more, especially in rap music, that, you know, if it's more aggressive, you're more likely to write something when you're anxious or upset than when you're really happy, at least for me, because it's like emotions you have to get out when you're upset. So I just draw inspiration from real life situations, whether it's something I've been through or something one of my friends has been through.
When you hit on that emotional level, though, it touches people more, though.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, people don't know Crazy. Like, I don't know if you guys seen my music video for Crazy. That was my first single I ever released, was Crazy, in a straitjacket and everything like that.
Yeah, that's another thing we want to know about, is how you came to make that song.
Yeah, it was nuts. I actually recorded that. I was like 16 or 17 when I recorded that song. Like, I wrote and recorded it at probably, 16 maybe. And then I actually filmed the video a few years later, so it wasn't right away that I filmed the video. But I even debated putting it out because I didn't know what the reaction was going to be. But I wrote that during basically an anxiety attack. Like, I was crazy during an anxiety attack. I kind of was like, I locked myself in my room for real. Like, at that time, I was still 16 or 17, so I still lived with my parents because I was younger. But I locked myself in my room and just wrote it and just stayed, like, for hours just in my room writing that. And because I wanted to feel like that, because I say in the chorus something about the, you know, the four walls around me and stuff like that. So I wanted to feel really claustrophobic almost, and I had a small-ass room. I mean, my parents weren't rich. I had a small-ass room. So I wanted to feel claustrophobic and feel what I was actually saying, so I kind of was real emo kid for a second and turned out the lights and kind of let myself write that song. And that was before, like, I didn't know what juggalos were at that time. You know, when I entered the music game, I didn't know what a juggalo was. And I know juggalos have really taken to Crazy, which is cool because, like I said, it wasn't necessarily written geared toward any particular demographic. It was just what came out. And I think juggalos really take to it because y'all like really theatrical stuff. And that's what I like about the whole juggalo scene, because I also like theatrical performances and videos and songs. So it was cool. Actually, the first time I learned about juggalos was when one of my first shows was with ABK, and I didn't know who he was. And, you know, I went to this venue, and I was like, put me on any show. I want to perform. I just want to get myself out there. I just want to perform. I had, like, never performed before, really. And the venue owner was like, fine, we have an ABK show tomorrow night. You come, do 5 minutes right when doors open. And I was like, yes, this is awesome. This is my big break in music. You know what I mean? I was so hyped on it. And I came not knowing who ABK was. I went out to perform, got on stage, saw all these painted faces in the crowd, and I was thinking to myself, what is happening? Like, this might not end well. Like, I don't know what this is, you know, but they accepted me and they got into it, and I was like at first really hesitant inside, and then I was like, okay, they're cool. They're cool. They're liking it. So it wasn't until after I got off stage and started, you know, talking to everyone that I started kind of hearing about it, and now I've really read a lot about it and stuff.
I was saying, mentioning ABK, that's one of the artists that I was beefing with.
The one of the artists you're beefing with currently?
Not me. One of the ones that I was beefing with. They at Soundstage, well, when Sonar was around Baltimore, when Sonar was around, he came there, and during one of his sets, like one of the people that rap with, that are on stage with IB, he was up on, one of the younger ones were up on the stage, and he threw him off stage, and then we got into a fight with the security guards and shit, because they threw one of our little people on the ground and shit.
Oh, damn.
And then, like, another group that I know went to another show with ABK, and they didn't get paid and shit, so we started arguing with him at that show because of that shit, because he wasn't trying to pay nobody.
Well, generally, I mean, when artists perform at shows, generally it's the promoter that would pay you, not really the headlining artist. So I don't know.
He was the reason why they weren't getting paid. I don't know.
Oh, crazy. That's wild. I'm sorry to hear that.
He came up with, like, his tour bus and was performing at Soundstage.
Oh, he had a bus at the time. I didn't even know he rolled around in a bus like that. That must have been
a
while ago, right?
It might have been a bus or a van or something, I think. I don't know. He had something going on.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't think, I don't know if, I forget if I've actually met him personally, but I've met a lot of the guys, you know, with Psychopathic. I've definitely met Twisted. I know they're no longer with Psychopathic, but I've met several people with them, and everyone I've met so far has been really cool to me. So
right.
Hopefully,
yeah.
You know, that's
Twisted
how they really are.
I don't know. I guess it was just a little bit of misunderstanding kind of pretty much.
Yeah, it gets wild. I mean, any kind of show, anything, you have a lot of big personalities. Rappers are big personalities, you know. We're all characters. We're all like, I don't know. We are large in personality. So when you get a bunch of those in one room, sometimes it doesn't always make.
And then you get that group that don't give a fuck, because that group don't give a fuck. They really don't.
Right.
But let's see. We have to get a room out. Question from the room from Michael Francolino.
Okay. Yeah,
he
that's my homeboy.
He wants to know, why did you call him a bitch at Ballas?
Yo, he's the best. Yeah, you guys, I don't know if any of you were at the Big Ballas performance. Were you at the Detroit show?
No, unfortunately.
No. Okay, Francolino, he is he's my buddy. He runs this radio station himself. He is called the Toxic Network, and he is a large asset of, you know, Team Underdog and also my live performance. Like, if you see me live, this guy from Baltimore, Maryland area knows it. He was with me there. I've had him on stage with me several times, and what he does is crazy tricks.
Is he the one that started the fucking condom?
Yes, he snorted a condom through his nose and pulled it out of his mouth.
Ew.
Live during my set. And it always makes for a good show. It goes down every time. Like, every time, I've seen him do it 100 times, and every time I think he's going to die. So, he's good.
Another reason why that security guard was salty was because of the silly string in the water. He was pissed off about that, too.
Yeah, I'll be the first rap star ever to get kicked out of a venue because of fucking silly string. What we did was we started a mosh pit, and I had a bunch of homies on stage just silly stringing the shit out of the mosh pit, and it was causing
people
to slip. Slipping and sliding. So, you know. It happens. I didn't think it through. It was just fun. I don't mean ever, obviously, for anyone to get hurt, and luckily no one got hurt, but it's just like that would have been crazy if my whole show got shut down due to silly string. That would have been probably a first in history for anyone getting shut down for silly string. That's pretty hardcore, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Michael also wants to know, when is your death metal album coming out?
Yo, he is a smartass. I need to get on that, though. Could you hear a death metal? There's some crazy female vocalists in death metal bands. So
yeah,
that might
are.
Be the next thing, the next album.
Now, that should be pretty dope. Now, all right, now my next question for you, if you could do a track with any artist, dead or alive, who would it be?
Damn, there's like way too many for me to name. It's crazy. My list changes of who I like every week because I'm really, I like diversity. But, you know, I'm sure you hear a lot of underground artists saying people like Tech N9ne. Like, I've already performed with half these people. Like, I'd love to do a song with Hobson. I've performed with him as well. Like, I talk to him every once in a while via text and stuff. Ritz, I talk to him every once in a while, too. So some of these are hopefully near future collaborations, you know. At least I tell myself that. So we'll see. But these are people that I've, you know, talked to. I don't have Tech N9ne's number, but I, you know, see him every once in a while. I go visit him on shows and stuff, and they treat me really nice. That's strange. So, you know, just artists like that. And I think it would be wild, too, to do a collaboration with maybe someone in a completely different genre. Like, I know Mike's being a smartass and saying metal or something like that, but, you know, if I came out and did a song with a rock band, it might be unexpected. Or if I did a song with a really good singer instead of another rapper, that might be unexpected, and that's what it's about, putting out fun songs that are just not your standard or something that people could have predicted. So that's my next move. We'll see. You'll see me come out with a song with, like, fucking Richard Simmons or something.
That would probably be interesting.
Just a little bit.
Fucking Pee Wee Herman featuring Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. We got another question from the room. Brandon Powell.
Okay.
He wants to know, what's your ASL?
Are we like cybering? We're like 13-year-olds. Want to cyber?
We're taking it back right now.
That's great. That's the best question of the whole interview. And the Walmart question. I like that Walmart question.
Yeah. All right. Here's my question for you. Literally, actually, this question we haven't asked in a while. But would you have sex with a zombie prostitute?
With a zombie prostitute? It depends. Is the T virus, the zombie virus, transmittable via sexual contact? Is it like an STD, like you can spread it by having sex and then I become a zombie without someone biting me? Or is it like I'll still be normal?
Man, all these zombie things going on, man. You'd be a zombie no matter what happens.
True. True. If it's like The Walking Dead and we all just become zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
I might have to do it just to say I did it. Cross it off the bucket list, you know. Because it's always been on there. It's close to the top. So just to cross that off the bucket list for sure.
All right, Gettleman, you're up.
Who would you like to open for?
Who would I like to open for? Yeah, man, I've opened for a lot of artists. Let's see. Who have I not opened for yet that would be good? Though I've collaborated with some artists from Bone Thugs, I have not performed with Bone Thugs and Harmony, so I think that would be pretty tight. I really think me and Machine Gun Kelly would mesh pretty well because he's crazy and likes to jump on people's heads like me. And I fully support that, so I think that would be pretty tight. Usually people hate him or love him, but I think he's rad. And he's like a rocker kind of guy, so I think that would be tight, too. Blink-182, you know.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Michael wants to know, if you could make your own movie, what kind of movie would you make? Comedy, horror, drama, or rom-com?
What was the last one?
Michael wants to know, if you could make your own movie, what kind of movie would you make?
Yeah.
Comedy, horror, drama, or rom-com?
Well, I wasn't porn in that. No, I'm just kidding. I would not make a Probably a comedy. Like, everything's so serious these days. I think a comedy, but, I mean, technically, I don't know if I can even say that because one of my music videos, my Bittersweet music video, was like a 16-minute short film, and it definitely wasn't a comedy. It was more like a drama. But, you know, I don't know if you guys took the time to see that. I know, like, really fans that really follow me took the time to watch it, and I made it because I wanted to give them a little something more to sink their teeth into, because a lot of music videos these days are kind of the same shit. They're really repetitive, and they just are, like, in front of, like, a fucking brick wall and shit, and people just rapping in front of graffiti and whatnot. So it's, like, to make a short film and a short, you know, like, a music video in one was really a goal of mine, and I'm glad I did that. But we'll see. Maybe in the future I have an acting career ahead of me.
Hell yeah. Now, if you could change one thing about the industry today, what would it be and why?
I mean, a lot of things are changing about the industry. The fact that we don't really need record labels anymore is kind of an amazing thing. I would really, I don't know, it would have to be radio right now. And I'm sure a lot of artists would say they would change the radio, but I know a lot of people aren't even listening to radio. A lot of people are listening to their iPod. They're listening to Sirius XM or whatever, and not the regular radio stations. But still, these regular stations continue to play the same 5 freaking songs and 1,000 commercials. And it's just like, enough is enough. Haven't they realized that that things are way different now? And they haven't. Their radio is partially ruining music in a sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, radio is just terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah, luckily there's stations like you guys who are underground, and there's a lot more of that coming up. So I think pretty soon there's not going to be radio. It's just going to be everyone's going to be playing off of other stuff, whether it be their iPod or whatever else, or everyone's going to have Sirius XM and things like that. I don't think the regular radio stations are going to really exist.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, that'll be the day. I really think a lot of labels, too, have folded. So let's see if in a few years major record labels even exist. That might not happen. I don't think television is going to, because everyone plays things off the internet. Like, you can stream things off of Netflix.
Yeah,
you can
watch
shows. You can – so, like, you're still going to have TVs, but they're all going to be hooked up to computers, you know? Like, so are we really going to have radio? Are we really going to have TV? I don't know. It's all about the internet.
Yeah, it's always about you.
Yeah, it is.
Which is cool. It's cool because it means, like, anyone can get their music out there, but it's also not cool because it means anyone can get their music out there. So it's like, so everyone and their mom, you know, like raps, or everyone and their mom's a producer or whatever, and so you're competing against people, and you get lost in a sea of people just putting out music. And it's just like a constant battle to get people like, peep my new video, peep this, check this song out. Like, that's all you see all day, you know. But
yeah, definitely hear that.
So you know how it goes.
Yeah, definitely. Ghetto Man, you're up.
Man, you stole my question. let's go with what embarrassing songs could we find on your iPod, since we're talking about iPods?
What embarrassing songs? Oh, shit. You know that group called Aqua that did that Barbie Girl song?
Yeah.
I'm sure you probably don't know the song, but they're on my iPod, and I don't even care. I don't even have shame. I guess it's embarrassing, but things like that. Like, I have crazy pop groups. I'm not, you know, I'm sure a lot of rappers won't admit it, especially underground independent ones, because they're going to be like, yo, like, I only fuck with independent, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't care. If I like something, I like it. I don't care if it's considered mainstream. I don't care if it's considered independent. I don't care if it's whatever. But, you know, I have pop records on there, whatever. I used to, in fifth grade, I was all about Spice Girls. Fucking. Back in the day. So... I'm sure there's some of that stuff floating around,
it's,
and then
it's all right. Yeah. Havoc also rocks out to that record nowadays, though.
You what? You're dating a girl that rocks out to it?
No. I said Havoc actually rocks out to that album, but nowadays though.
Right. Havoc. That's great. He's playing it right now, just really low in the background.
I can hear it, man. I can hear it.
I was like, oh, you know that Barbie Girl song? He's like, yeah. I know that jam.
No. I think what's playing in the background really low would be Big Time Rush.
You all know you got some Journey on your iPods. Like, you just be singing. Belting Journey.
Of course.
Man, that person is, like, dying in the background.
Yeah, like, I'm hearing, what are you doing, Chew, over there? I didn't want you guys thinking it was me. Like, I'm glad I've been talking when it happens, when you be hawking like that, because I didn't want anyone listening to this interview thinking that I was, like, losing a lung or something.
So what would you say would be your favorite things to do when you aren't making music?
Man, my time is limited now. A lot of it is making music, but I don't know if you guys, if any of you follow me on any of my social networking sites, but I'm, like, obsessed with the 90s still, and I'm always posting 90s shit, and, you know, all about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all about really nerdy stuff all the time. Like, I like to get into TV shows. Like, I'm really into Walking Dead, like we were talking about zombies just now. Breaking Bad was one of my favorite shows. Let's see. There's just a ton of shows that I get into and movies. When I am doing music, a lot of it is so fast-paced, and I'm always at clubs, and I'm always around a lot of people. And even though I seem really outgoing, and I am for the most part, like, I'm a loner as well, so I like to just take it easy and kick it and chill at home, though I don't smoke pot. I smoke hookah, though, and I have a couple hookahs, and I'll chill, watch a movie, and, like, be puffing on hookah and stuff like that and kick it because, yeah, these clubs, it's always loud and crazy, and it's cool to have a wild lifestyle, but you got to balance it out, I think, by relaxing.
I actually do see you post that stuff on Facebook with, like, Bop It and whatnot.
Yeah, I love it. I grew up in the 90s. I mean, a lot of my fans are that generation, so it's like when I post things like Tamagotchis and, like, fucking Skip Its and Bop Its and, like, random throwback 90s stuff that I love, like, people are always feeling it because they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I definitely remember all of that stuff.
Right? And it's a blast from the past because you're like, I forgot about that shit. And that, because when someone said Skip It to me, or, like, I posted the Bop It and someone's like, oh, what about Skip It? And I was like, oh, my God, I remember that. I forgot. So that's crazy. Or I remember in gym class back in the day, like, the parachute shit. They would have the big parachute. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
Yeah, they had, like, a big parachute, like, just random stuff like that. I like to do throwbacks and just, because I think it makes people happy, because you look at that and it brings you back for a second. And now you're like, damn, I got all these bills to pay now. I remember when there was fucking Bop It. Now I got, like, now I got rent due. This is crazy.
Let's see. Michael's got two questions. First question is, if you could perform any artist or any past artist as a hologram, who would it be?
What was that? You cut out a little bit. If I could perform with anyone as a hologram? Is that what you said?
With any past artist as a hologram.
As a hologram. Man. Am I too cliche if I say Michael Jackson? Because I want to say Michael Jackson because I think that would be hella tight. So it would definitely be him for sure. But every time now I say Michael Jackson, I think of the South Park episode. You can tell that I'm a South Park fan when he did the Toddlers and Tiaras contest on South Park.
Yeah, I remember
that's
that.
All I can envision. That's all I can envision. Poor dude. But him or Whitney Houston, because then there'd be two Whitneys on the stage, and that would be devastating. That would be, that would be sick. So what's going down?
Not quite sure.
Is he rocking the Aqua? No, he's rocking me.
Yeah, right.
I hear Ferris wheel.
That,
I hear Ferris wheel from DJ Glaze mixtape. Yeah.
That was me rocking it.
All right. A little plug right there. A little plug.
That's
for Ferris wheel
off
of DJ Glaze.
Let's see. Michael's next question is, do you believe in ghosts? And if yes, have you ever had a paranormal experience?
Oh, man. You know, I was on a couple years ago, I was asked to be on Ghost Hunters, the show, because they wanted people that were not, you know, ghost hunters. They wanted people that were like musicians or entertainers to be on the show because they knew we would be scared to death. So the thing is, I don't know if I believe in ghosts, but I'm still a little bitch when it comes to being alone in the dark in a creepy-ass house. I'll tell you that. Because that's scary as hell. I don't care who you are. And I think I want to challenge the most hood rapper you can find, and clearly I'm not it, but the most, like, OG
any
hood
like,
rapper you can find.
Maybe, like, DMX or something.
Yeah, and put him in a house with ghosts, and he'll still be like, hell no. You know what I mean? Like, it's creepy. Like, they took me, it was this place in Pennsylvania, but it was, like, an old abandoned inn, and you know, they made me go upstairs in the dark by myself wearing a body cam so you could see my face, but I was wearing it so no one else was with me. And they gave me this little-ass flashlight, and they were like, okay, now we're going to send you in by yourself to the attic. And I was like, are you serious? Like, when I signed up for this show, I didn't know I was going to be going somewhere by myself. Like, so they sent me in there, and I'm looking around with this little-ass flashlight, and I look up, and the rafters, there were puppets hanging from the rafters. Like, demented puppets, and that was the scariest shit ever, and they, like, left me in that room for, like, half an hour or something by myself. So I don't know if I believe in ghosts, but I don't know. I'd be afraid to say that in a dark room just in case there are ghosts that want to kick my ass for saying I don't believe in them. So I'm
on
the fence.
She thought she was going to end up in a soul scenario.
I do like Ghostbusters, though. And if I saw Slimer, that would be pretty awesome. Like, if Slimer or the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man made an appearance, that would be the best day ever.
Man, I think if the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man showed up, I think I'd end up getting hungry.
You just bite him. Yeah, how can he hurt you? I don't understand that. You know, I love that movie, but I was like, really? How's he knocking shit over? Like, I don't get this. Start a fire. Why did no one think to start a fire? You know? No, none of the Ghostbusters thought, okay, let's start a fire or something. And roast him. I don't know. Seems
yeah,
logical.
Exactly.
Damn, I keep interrupting myself. My rap.
Yeah.
I'm playing. I'm just glad someone's playing my tracks. That's what's up.
Hell yeah. But I was about to say, I mean, shit, like, but the staple, like, all you really need is, like, a giant fucking Hershey's bar and, like, fucking giant graham crackers. And there you go. You got fucking giant fucking s'mores right there.
Yeah, I don't know how marshmallows knocking off the buildings and shit. But that's just me. But it was tight. It was tight to watch.
Let's see. Michael wants to know, also wants to know, what's the weirdest thing you have found on the road at a rest stop and bought?
I've seen some pretty awesome stuff at rest stops. Let's see. I think I bought a big stuffed tiger at one time. it's crazy. Let's think. I can tell you that my favorite rest stop is Wawa. Let me just put that out there again if I haven't put it out enough in my interviews, because it's a constant debate. People on the tour wanted to know, is Sheetz better or is Wawa better? And if you're not from a certain part of Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you don't know what Wawa is probably.
Nope.
But it's the shit is what it is. But do you know what Sheetz is? Are you familiar with Sheetz?
Yeah, we know what Sheetz is. At least I do anyway.
Do you have Sheetz in Pittsburgh? I don't remember.
Yeah, we got a couple of them.
What do you think? Are you into it?
I mean, I don't go there often, though.
No. But, yeah, I think, too, you know, for most of my tour, I like to tell people to put their lighters in the sky and stuff during a Ferris wheel track. And I bought this, like, jumbo-sized lighter at one of the gas stations, and while I said that during my set where I usually do, I think I pulled that out of my pocket while everyone else was pulling out their little lighter, and I pulled out this thing. It was like 10 times the size of my hand, and like lit this big ass lighter. Everyone was like, "What the fuck?" We do weird stuff, but I've seen some pretty crazy things at gas stations, and I should make that when I have more money to actually just be buying stuff that's random, I'm just going to do that. Like, when I go on tours and I have mad money for some reason, which I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I'll just be buying random gifts for people at gas stations. That's how I will pay roadies on tour, with gas station merchandise.
That's what's up. Let's see. My next question for you. What would you say has been the craziest thing that happened to you during a show?
Well, I've done a lot of crazy things, so luckily, dude just said, I got shut down for Silly String pretty much in Maryland 2 weeks ago, but also during the Big Ballers show, we put on a pretty crazy show. I jumped out during one of the songs with a big inflatable raft into the crowd, and that was pretty dope. I definitely got my ass grabbed a lot when I did that one, though. which usually is pretty good. Usually, like, I crowd surf constantly, and, I haven't had too much happen to me. But during that show, I guess because I was in a raft that was just one of those tubes with no, like, bottom part in it, it was just, like, right there to grab, you know?
Yep. It was all good.
Funny.
Hey man, yeah. Hey man, don't call me out like that, man. She don't need to know.
It was funny. Yeah, and I during a show, Mike has snorted condoms. Obviously, he's in your chat room right now, so he's nuts. But
he's doing it right now as we speak.
Exactly. Like, I was thinking that he's in there right now snorting condoms, asking questions for this radio show. That's what he does. Extra lubricated. I told him he needs to get flavored ones because I can't imagine how that tastes good in your nose, in your nostril area. So he's done that at the Detroit show as well. I wrestled him because there's a wrestling ring, okay? So I never performed in a wrestling ring before. And in the middle of my show, that's when I called Mike a bitch that he was talking about earlier. I just said he was a little bitch because he always complains about snorting a condom, which I would never do. So for me to call him a bitch about it is just ridiculous. But I did, and we did this whole, like, choreographed wrestling stunt for, like, I don't know, it was like a 30-second thing that we just did, and I ended up clotheslining him, and he went and he fell down and rolled out the ring, and it was pretty entertaining, I think, at least to me. I had fun beating him up. But I think people liked it too.
Oh, and according to Michael, he said that you told him that he needed to get Magnum.
Yeah, because, they're bigger, so I thought it would be funnier from my perspective to watch him try to snort a bigger condom. I mean, that's just good entertainment there. That's just quality. So, but the poor guy is in enough pain just doing a regular one. And he probably wants to be able to use them for later, so definitely not Magnum, right, Mike? I'm playing. Oh, man, he's going to diss me so hard for that.
Let's see, and apparently the only time he snorts condoms is when he's home alone.
When he's home alone or when he's doing a show with me, so I don't know how to feel about that. It's kind of creepy. I only snort condoms for you, Whitney. That's true. So that's great.
Michael also wanted me to ask you, what's your favorite childhood cartoon?
I mean, would I be bad if I didn't say Underdog? But that's not really a childhood cartoon because that was much, before my time, really. Let's see. Ah, Real Monsters. What do you know about Ah, Real Monsters? That was the shit.
Right,
yes. That was – Rocket Power was tight, but, I liked Ah, Real Monsters. Let's see. There's a ton of them. What were you guys into? Cat Dog?
Rugrats.
Got some Rocko's Modern Life.
Rocko's Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy, okay. Rocko's Modern Life. That was a good one.
Rugrats
Pepper.
Was good.
Tight.
Excuse me, Whitney, you're going to have to turn down a little bit.
Yeah, to turn up in here. With this, I rap and answer questions at the same time, simultaneously.
Joe.
If you didn't know, so.
Now, of course, for people that may not know, and if they didn't know, well, about to know now, you actually got a chance to perform at the gathering.
I did, and I was invited to play before, but this past year was the first time that I actually was able to go. And it was awesome. Like, I didn't expect it to be how it was. I didn't realize how great of a Juggalo following I had. Because I have diverse fans, I didn't realize how strong it was. And it was crazy. Like, people kept asking me if I thought I was going to get things thrown at me. And I wasn't sure. But I said, I can't just not perform because I'm scared all the time. I can't just pull out of a performance because I'm afraid what might happen. So I performed regardless. I went there, and it was a great reaction. I walked out on the crowd at that show, too. So I stage-dived even at that, not knowing what people might have in the audience. Like, now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, shit, I could have been, like, shanked with something. But it was nothing but love, So I kind of gauged the crowd. I knew what was going on, and they were cool with me, so I figured, why not? I'll jump out. I'll do my normal thing. And it was tight. It went over really well. I'd love to come back, I really would, because it was a good time all around. I've never seen a festival like that, because I'd never even been there before, let alone perform there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I have yet to go to one. Every time it comes up. I've got to work, mm-hmm. And honestly, if I got to choose between the gathering and keeping up with my bills, bills.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. It's understandable. Luckily, I'm fortunate that I'm able to do this for a living now, but it was definitely an experience, so I would recommend it if you have the extra cash. I'm sure it's a very expensive thing. But yeah, it was a cool experience, and it seems like everyone there, a lot of them had been there several times, and they say it's like the best time of their life, really. So, I mean, it is fun. It's really fun.
Oh yeah, and this dude is definitely just rocking out the tracks right now.
Yeah, that's tight. That's what's up.
Des wants me to ask you if you'll add her on Facebook.
Wait, what?
Destiny, under remarks, me to ask if you will add her to Facebook.
If I'll add her to Facebook. Well, I mainly use my music page, which is facebook.com/WhitneyPeytonMusic. I do have a personal page, but it's really to – I use it as an admin page for my music page, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of hard to have a music page without having a personal page. But, I mean, I add people that add me as their friend. I accept it. I accept everyone's request. So if you add me as a friend, I will accept your request.
All right, Destiny, there you go. And, Michael wants to know, will you put him on your top 8 on MySpace?
Wow.
Does anybody even use MySpace anymore?
I will put him as number 9 on MySpace.
MySpace, but, man. That's actually where I first heard you from, was MySpace back in the day.
No way, dude. I'm sorry.
Damn.
I apologize. That's before I could rap. I'm
I liked it.
Thank you. I think every artist looks back, you know, it's not – every artist looks back at older material and go, oh, you know, it's so much better now. Like, I'm not even going to ever pretend like I even did these songs because every song is so much – you know, my writing skills have improved and everything like that. And I think a lot of people feel like that. And if you're an artist who doesn't, maybe you need to I don't know, practice or something, because if your old material sounds like your new material, that's not good. That's not a good sign. So, I mean, I look back on that stuff and I was like, I mean, like I said, Crazy, my song Crazy, even though that was my first single, that was recorded when I was like 16, 17. So I have a lot of music from when I was very young. So looking, you know, anyone older, even if you look back in your 20s, that's something you did as a teenager, or war, or pictures of something, and you're like, oh, what the fuck was I thinking? You know? It's like that kind of same deal for songs sometimes. I listen back, and I'm like, what was I doing when I wrote that song? That's kind of whack. Like, what? You know, but it's a good trip down memory lane. I don't think my Facebook is still active, or it's been probably taken down by now, but that would be pretty funny. I should try to advocate Facebook now. Like, I should just heavy promote my links on MySpace.
And Destiny,
yeah,
wants to,
MySpace the whole time.
Destiny wants to know, what's your name on Facebook?
Nicki Minaj.
There you go.
It's Whitney Payton. What you think? Like, what? Come on. Come on, she thought I had maybe some weird name on there, because she's right, though. I can't even – was it a chick that said that, you said?
Yeah.
I can't even be mad. I can't even be mad because people have such crazy-ass names. Like, I think someone added me, like, one time a couple years ago, this chick added me, and she was, like, a juggler, and her name on Facebook was Taco Let. Like, how are you going to have Taco Let as your name on Facebook?
Taco. Yeah, they got some strange things. They need to cut that down a little bit.
It's original. I'll give them that. That's original. Taco Let.
There was a point in time where Facebook made you put an actual name there, though.
Yeah, it doesn't now, I guess. Because I've seen such crazy names, so I guess not. But amusing.
Yeah, it's true.
It makes for good entertainment, Facebook.
Brandon wants to know what is the most interesting thing a fan has given you?
This past Rugged and Raw tour, a fan gave me this, like, present that was wrapped for Christmas, because it was right before Christmas. And I opened it, and it was a shoebox, and then it was like a Converse shoebox. And then I opened the shoebox, and it was just full of ramen noodles. That was the shit. Because then people see me talk about it all the time. I don't care. I could be a millionaire and I'd be eating ramen noodles. Like, you know, I was on tour. Yeah, I was on tour and I was at this hotel and there were ramen noodles in the vending machine. And it got stuck. Like, it took my money and got stuck. And I posted, I think, something on Facebook about it. And I was like, damn it, because I couldn't flip it because it was so heavy and I'm really small. And I couldn't, like, flip the machine or anything to make it let go of my ramen noodles. So I couldn't get it. So I had to pay twice, and it sucked. But dude brought me a bunch of ramen noodles, like, at my next show because he saw that online. And I think that was really cool because they pay attention to things that I post and things that I like. And they've got me. I'm waiting for someone to bring me a Bop It on the next tour.
Did you hear about fucking Isolated Beans when they performed Dr. Master? One of the fans gave him a bag of weed.
Oh, that's common, though. That's not even a weird thing. That's common.
The,
I mean, that,
boy,
you know.
The one boy was like, I need to stop writing more songs about smoking weed.
Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time. I'll be on stage and they'll straight hand me, you know, blunts, joints while I'm on stage. And like I said, I don't smoke because it just makes me hella anxious, but they don't know that. So I think people get offended because I hand it back. And then I think they take it as a diss that it's like, oh, you, like, you're too good to smoke my weed or something like that. But it's not even like that. It's just, I know, I'll all of a sudden go silent in my set and just be standing there thinking I'm rapping. So, that's why I try to stay away from that. But you know, it's hella cool. It's a cool gesture, you know. I'm waiting for someone to be like, yo, here's a bag of bath salts. Lavender. I'll be like, that would be the funniest. That will be the funniest gift. So someone handed me bath salts. I'm waiting for it to happen. Or a Jeffrey. What is it from that movie? A Jeffrey.
Now I'm going to have to do that when you come back to Maryland.
Hand me bath salts. It'd be like Bed Bath & Beyond. This is that beyond right there. That's funny. You'll be like Cat Williams. This shit right here.
It'll make you go deaf.
This vanilla wafer bath salt right here.
Just be careful with the bath salts because you might turn into a zombie.
Exactly, but that's what you guys were trying to turn me into a zombie earlier, so. So now, and
no.
See, like you said, any way you slice it, we're all going to turn into zombies. Everything turns us.
This is very true.
That's great.
So we may as well turn ourselves into zombies then, right?
Right.
I think we already are, in a way.
Probably.
That's also true.
But Michael wants to know, what's the best pickup line either you had someone say to you or that you heard of someone else being used on them?
I was in Philadelphia coming out of a gas station in a really kind of like ghetto neighborhood. And this girl was kind of walking in front of me. I wasn't walking with her. I didn't know her or anything, but this guy was trying to holler at the girl who was walking in front of me. She was like a little more voluptuous, you know, curvy girl. And he was like, oh girl, you look like you taste like pound cake. Like, he goes, you look so delicious. You look like you taste like pound cake. Like the way he said it though, was like, I think I double took. I was like, what? He just said, you look like you taste like pound cake? Like, what? Who says that? Like, not a cupcake, not fucking angel food cake, like a pound cake. Like, damn. I don't know if someone said that to me, how I would take that. Pound cake is delicious, so I might have mixed feelings about it. I'd be like, it's delicious, but are you saying that I have a couple extra pounds? I don't know.
That's great.
Oh, bud. Desiree from Toxic Network wants me to ask, what would be your weapon of choice during a zombie apocalypse?
Nail gun. How come no one has a nail gun? You never see any motherfuckers in the movies with nail guns. They have bows and arrows, okay? You see guns all the time. A nail gun is perfect because I don't think it makes as much noise as a gun. so it doesn't attract them. But nail to the head. They need to start. I need to be a writer on Walking Dead because
yeah.
they have to come up with some creative ways to kill zombies now that they've done a lot of them. So I'm thinking nail gun. And also, I would build a moat. How come no one builds a moat?
Because these shows aren't realistic, I guess.
Yeah, these zombie shows are not realistic, guys. These shows with Walking Dead people are just not realistic enough for me. I think they should build a moat and have a nail gun.
People think of things like that.
No.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? If you do become a writer for The Walking Dead, you can bring Herschel back.
Bring which one back? Herschel?
Yeah,
bring back his I agree. That was a good episode. We just spoiled it for a lot of people. I wonder if, yeah, spoiler alert, I wonder if you're not caught up with Walking Dead, you're welcome. We just ruined it for you. But, yeah, Herschel, that was sad. That was sad. I like him a lot. I think I kind of held my breath for that one.
But here's a real question for you. Do you really think the governor is dead?
The governor's never dead. You have to – what is the rule? What is the rule with the horror movies that you have to kill the killer like 3 times before he's actually dead? And I don't know if this counts as a horror movie, but I don't know. I don't think so. I read a lot of the comics, and they're way different. They're like 100% different than the show. They're way more graphic, a lot more deaths, if you can believe that. But it's really sad. There's more rape and more deaths in the comic books. It's kind of creepy. So
yeah, it is. I mean, but like you said, yeah, Governor's not dead. Like that dude does not die at all, anyways. I mean, shit, like I'm convinced he's probably like half a zombie.
Just half. Just the bottom half, the lower half. He's going to come back with 2 eye patches, both eyes. He's still going to be alive and be able to see shit. We don't know how. He has both eye patches. We don't.
Yeah, he was able to shoot somebody in the head with
right?
a gun with a bad eye.
For real. That's what I'm saying. This is, man. See, we all need to write on that show, but I like how it's going. It's getting better. For a while there, it was just like too much dialogue and talking and not enough killing zombies, and now it's kind of getting back to that, so I'm happy.
Well, now it's time to move somewhere else since we can't be at the prison anymore.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be crazy. Build a moat. Find a castle. So
they're going to randomly find a castle in the middle of nowhere.
Build a tree house. No one's building tree houses.
Man, ain't nobody do that no more.
Oh, come on.
But since if you're going to have a nail gun, you could build us a tree house.
Right. See, multi-purpose. That it comes in handy for a lot of things. For building your shelter, for killing the zombies. I think it's pretty foolproof, that one.
It's the Destiny has a question. What is your favorite horror movie?
As corny as it is, I like the Scream series, and I know that's hella corny to a lot of people, but I love I love Scream. I'm not into really, really heavy gore movies like Hostel, for instance. Like, I'm not into things like that because I feel like the thriller movies have more of a plot than something like Hostel's just trying to gross you out. So Scream is definitely it. I think the third one's kind of corny with Roman as the killer, but the rest of them are pretty tight. I have a big figurine of the Scream guy. Still in the box.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the first 3 screens were good, and then they got to the 4th one, and they just made it look really retarded.
I disagree. I thought that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think the fourth one was better than the third one. I think the third one was like weak, and the fourth one kind of was better than that. But Halloween's pretty freaky too. Like Halloween, it's like anytime you have a killer that can walk faster than you can run, that's scary.
Yeah, right.
That's scary.
Like I'm pretty much screwed if that happens.
Yeah, like what is up with that? You run and you're sprinting and then you look and he's right there. He's always right there. That's crazy. And you hit him a million times. They don't fall down. Like it's like a dream. Have you ever had a dream where you're running from something and you can't even run? You like stumble all the time. That's what it's like. They're tripping over shit that's not there. Yeah, they're tripping over shit that's not there. They're just like tripping. Like, what did you just trip on? Oh my God, you just broke your ankle and now you're dragging yourself, crawling. It always happens. Damn
yeah.
it. Or they run upstairs. They should be running outside and they run upstairs. I'm like, why did you run somewhere where he can block you in? You know, run outside somewhere. They never make the smart decision. And it's always the girls. And I'm like, you make us look bad. We're not all retarded.
Come on, don't you know you're safe once you get upstairs?
I've learned from horror movies that you are 90% of the time, 90% of the time, women are attacked in the shower. So now I was scared for a long time to take a shower instead of like a bath. Because I was like, no, this is where shit goes down. This is where the killer always comes out when the girls are in the shower. They don't attack guys in the shower. You never see a guy taking a shower get stabbed.
That'd be weird.
True. Unless you're in jail or something.
So you're saying that horror killers have their limits. They won't. They'll kill people, but hey, if you're in the shower, if you're a dude, then, you know, they'll give you a pass.
I really don't know how to explain that.
I don't think anybody does at all.
I think he's trying to pretend he's not a killer. You're trying to hide your secret life.
Well, I can't tell you everything.
And, Michael, you have some really weird questions, man.
Who?
Mike, he's just trying to instigate.
Oh, yeah, what's he asking now?
Oh, his first question was aliens, real or fake?
I think they're real. I think they're real. We can't prove that there's nothing out there, you know what I mean? So I don't know if I would think that they're those green things with no noses that everyone thinks they look like. But, you know, there's probably something. Who knows? They walk among us.
No, she might be an alien.
It's probably true. It's probably true.
Well, I mean, technically,
I can't tell you everything.
I mean,
they came back to bite me.
That's a good old bird. But technically, if you really think about it, you know, if we were to go to another planet, we would be the aliens.
Yeah, we're aliens. That's true. That's true.
But where are we going?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Uranus.
No, but I wonder if they have, like, you know, how we have the green aliens all the time, like what they would have of us that are supposed to look like us, you know? What that would look like. That would be interesting.
They would all simply look like Havoc.
That would be disturbing. On so many levels.
Yeah.
Michael
getting
wants to know. Okay, Michael wants to know, you get a free trip to Disney World or Universal Studios. What attraction do you go to first?
Is Disney World, that is part of Universal Studios, correct? Or they're separate?
I think they're separate.
are separate. So if I could choose one, I mean, yeah, I don't exactly know, you know, his exact question, but I think it would be Universal Studios, because that's more of the like special effects stuff, right? Because that's cool. I'm a wuss, dude. Like, this is cool, because it's the first interview I've ever saying this, but I have never been on a roller coaster ever.
Yeah.
Ever on any kind of roller coaster. So if I had to choose something that's more so a theme park or a special effects kind of place, it would be the special effects one all the way. Because I'm hella scared of heights. And a lot of these roller coasters are high. It's not even so much the speed, it's just how high they go. And, you know, just rattling yourselves around like a fucking rag doll. I'm cool. I'm straight. You know, I don't know. I'm scared of it. And the people are like, no, we got to take you on a roller coaster. Maybe one day, I'll be brave enough to go on a roller coaster, which is fun. It's funny because I do all this other shit. I say I'm afraid of heights, and then I go ahead at shows. I climb like 20 stack, like amplifiers and like speakers and stuff. So it's like once I have adrenaline in me, it kind of goes out the window. So we'll see if I ever just like felt hella brave, then I would do it. But we'll see. I know I'm probably one of the only people that says that has never been on a roller coaster.
Okay, Destiny wants me to ask you a question. You know, I tried skipping that question because I'm pretty sure nobody likes this movie. But she wants to know, do you like the Human Centipede?
I have not watched that, but I've heard it's pretty gross. Like, I know the concept of it. And I don't know if I could bring myself to watch it just because of how fucking gross that is. Come on, man. That's like, that is scary. Talk about scary movies. That is scary. And I'm more into thrillers, like I said, than things that gross you out. And I think that's just a movie just strictly to make you just like, can't even watch it because you're so grossed out by it. I don't know. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I didn't.
You did, or?
I have.
I did not.
Yeah.
Oh, but you have. Is it just gross? Does it have a plot to it, or what?
It really has no plot to it. It's just really weird, boring, and retarded.
Wait,
it's boring even though it's that sick? That's gross. Yeah. Yeah, he had a great review for that one. So
yeah,
you know,
I definitely want to see it.
Yeah, it kind of piqued my interest, but
I mean, come on, like, your fucking ass is sewn to, you know, to someone else's mouth, and then that person's ass is sewn to the next person's mouth, and in order to shit, you have to shit in their mouth.
Oh, and, hella whack.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, that's. And what did he feed them?
Nothing. They're like their mouths were taped and sewn shut. And the only thing.
Oh, even the first guy.
Yep.
Oh, even the very first guy, like that wasn't attached to anybody else.
Yep. So the only thing that they had to eat was the other person's shit.
That's just, come on, who came up with that? Like, I don't know. That person should be in a mental ward instantly. I don't know if I could be that person's friend after that. Like, if I was homies with someone, even for like 10 years, and they're like, yo, I wrote this movie, come support it, and I went to the premiere and it was that, I would be like, we are no longer friends. I don't care how deep this friendship is. I cannot be friends with you. So that's how that goes. But what time is it? Damn.
12:30.
Yeah, 12:30.
Damn, that's right. Yeah, you guys have asked me a lot of questions, a lot of cool questions that I don't always get asked. So that's pretty cool.
But actually, Michael does have another question. He wants to know, if you had unlimited funds, what would be your dream stage setup and show theme?
Oh, man. It probably depends, because when I get to a point, hopefully when I do have enough funds to put on a crazy show, it depends really what songs that I have out at that time and what they're about, because I'd probably make something around that. I definitely want really cool lights. I mean, everything comes down to how you are as a performer. It doesn't matter what you have around you. You could have as many props as possible. If you're not a good performer just on your own, none of that's going to matter at all. But lights would be my first thing to get, because I think that really makes it dramatic when you have your own light person, not just the venue person working your lights, someone who actually knows your songs in and out. Crazy costumes. I would have some pretty big stage props. I'd have to think about it. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff. Like, I've seen, I know this is an artist that I actually respect. Like, Pink is from my area, the artist Pink. I actually went to the same high school as Pink. And she's older than me, though, so she graduated at a different time. But she does shit where she does acrobats, like swings in the air and stuff. Like, I want to think of cool stuff that I could integrate into my show, because I think rapping is dope, obviously, and that's got to be your number one thing. But there's so much you can do now, and there's so much entertainment, you know, more than rap, that you can bring to it. So it would have to go around whatever my song was at the time. But I'm thinking zombies. I'm thinking zombie slaves, like Michonne. I would just come out with zombies.
Now that would be a great.
I thought about it for Halloween and stuff. I thought about having zombie slaves, but then I just thought it would look racist. So so I was like, okay, because, you know, she has the black guys that are her, like, brother and boyfriend or whatever that were the zombies,
yeah,
that she has as her slaves. So I was like, okay, I guess I'd have to find some white guys for it, or else it's just going to really look racist. And, you know, so I'll have to do that sometime. But people will be like, she's into S&M. She brought these guys out on stage with chains. And I could see that being the next headline.
That could definitely work. Or, you know, like with the fact, you know, like you're just talking about, like we were talking about Ghostbusters earlier. You can out of randomness, like, you know, come out on stage, like, as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, that would be tight. It's all what you can do. I don't know, certain things, I don't know if they're trademarked or copyrighted, and if you can come out in things like that, or if they're going to try to tell you that's a copyright infringement to wear the suits. But maybe if they don't say Ghostbusters or they say something else, it would be okay. But that would be tight. How tight, during your show, all of a sudden the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man just comes from behind the audience and walks through the crowd.
That'd be something.
Has nothing to do with anything in the song. Just,
well,
you know.
Well, there again, you know, like, I don't really think it'd be copyrighted, because, I mean, like, if you really think about it, like, there's so many cosplayers out there, you know, who, you know, let you go to the conventions and cosplay as Ghostbusters.
Right, but you're not making money off of it, you know what I mean? I think when you're doing a show, if you're charging people for tickets to a show, and then I don't know, you could be right. You might be able to do it, might not matter. No one would probably care. The people who own Ghostbusters are going to come at you, really? Like, come on.
Yeah, cause, I mean, like, you know, like, look at Twisted or even Eminem, you know, who used Jason for a few shows, or Twisted, you know, but Myers for a few shows.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think that would be cool. I always have to make sure, like, sometimes when I think things are, like, original ideas, I'm like, oh, I had the best idea. I always Google that shit to make sure no one else did it, to be like, okay, I didn't, like, get this from someone else, right? This is actually made up in my head. I always be Googling stuff to see if someone else has done it. Like, when I come up with even titles to things, I, like, Google it, and I'm like, all right, who else has, you know, said this or done this? It's always got to be original. I could come out twerking like Miley Cyrus, you know.
There you go.
No way, man. So.
Yeah.
That's one thing you won't see.
Yeah, in my opinion, I don't think Mother Sir should ever twerk. She does not have the ass for it.
Yeah. That poor girl. It's crazy. I mean, it must be tough. Like, I can't even be mad at her. Like, people say such nasty things about her online and things like that, but I can't even be angry. It's like, it must be hard when you're famous for that long. I think you lose your mind. I'm serious. Especially working when you're a kid and they're making you be really wholesome all the time. I think it just, like, makes people go crazy. I mean, obviously, that Britney Spears did it, and then Miley, and then, like, we got that Amanda Bynes girl freaking out, and she said she was going to come out with a rap album, Amanda Bynes.
No.
No.
So it just, like, yeah, you know? So it's, like, I think they just... I feel bad for them. I don't even feel mad. Like, so people get so angry, but I'm like, I think they just lost their freaking mind. They had a, mental breakdown. So, which sucks. That's what it can do to you when you have fans that only like you for certain reasons, and then they don't follow you anymore when you change. Like, so that's the beauty of being independent or the underground. It's like, you don't have to have a hit record for fans to like you, and they don't expect every song has to make it on Billboard charts.
That's true.
They might like a song that you didn't even think was your best song. Like, people like it with them. They have to always be on the charts or they'll lose fans. Like, people won't follow them anymore. That's a sad thing. Indie fans are totally different.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. All right, so my question for you now is, do you have any... certain or special rituals that you had to do before going up on stage and performing?
I gauge the crowd. Like, before I go up and perform, whoever's performing before me, usually I kind of try to look out. I see how the crowd's reacting to that person, so I can kind of see what they like and what they don't like. I pace around a lot because I'm just so amped before a show every time. It doesn't matter. I've performed a million times now, and before every show I'm equally as I'm not nervous. I wouldn't say nervous because I'm not scared, but I'm really pumped before each show. Like, I've seen artists who could just sit there, be chill as hell and just be so calm, and then when it's their turn to perform, they just get up and go on stage. Like, I can't do that. I gotta I jump up and down. I pace around and stuff because I want my adrenaline to be on full blast when I go out, because I want to go out strong. So that's how I always am. I know it's different than a lot of the artists because, like I said, the large majority of the time I'll be in a green room or something waiting, and people are just really chill and relaxed. And I'm like, you guys got to get up and shit because I'm trying to be pumped. So that's my ritual, is just like, I mean, that's a horrible ritual. I pace and get anxious. It's like, yes, we all want to be like her. But that's really what it is. I don't drink or do anything before I hit the stage. Like, I rarely drink anyway, but certainly not before I perform, because I've seen so many rappers just wasted on stage, and some of them can hold it, and then some of them just, like, are forgetting their lyrics, and they're so sloppy, and I'm like, oh, man, really? Really?
Yeah, that's definitely not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah, it's one thing. If you're a seasoned drinker and that's you, and you almost, like, some people, I get how they, some of them need it to go on stage. Like, you wouldn't think that because they're pretty good at hiding their nerves, but, like, they loosen up by drinking before they go on stage and stuff. But so if you can hold your own and you can still give a good performance, then whatever, like, do you, for sure. But if you're forgetting your verses and stumbling on stuff all the time because it's just out of control, it's like, I just suggest not getting into it until after your set. It's probably the best bet. The fans come to see you and then they're like, yo, we know the words better than you, this is whack.
Yeah. Desiree wants me to ask, and apparently this is a inside joke, but she said, you don't drink, you don't smoke. What do you rap about, bruh?
Yeah, when I was at the gathering, because you guys brought up the gathering earlier, there's this guy in the parking lot, and he made it, like, I had, like, you know, some team members with me, I had some crew with me, and I was already in the hotel room, and Desiree, the one talking to you guys right now in chat, she was with me, and he comes up to her, and he's like, he knew that there was a rapper staying in the hotel. There was actually quite a few of us. We were in a hotel for the gathering. You know, unfortunately, I didn't camp out or anything. I know I'm a cheater, but I stayed in the hotel for the gathering, and he knew there was rappers in there, and I guess maybe he saw me walk in or something and knew that I was one of the rappers, but he didn't quite know who I was. He just knew that I was someone who rapped, and he was, like, asking her, like, yo, who was that and stuff, and she told him, she was like, oh, yeah, that's Whitney Payton, you know, and he went, like, he responded to her like he knew me. Like, he was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, can I meet her? Can I, like, get a picture and stuff like that? And the way he sounded, it sounded like he, you know, recognized who I was after she said it. So she came into the room and was like, hey, can you go take this picture with this guy? I was like, yeah. So I came out, and he didn't know who I was. He was just, like, asking me all these weird questions. He was like, oh, you know, he was trying to, like, hand me drugs, not even just weed. It was just, like, weird drugs. I didn't even know what they were, and I was like, oh, I'm good, you know. And he was like, oh, you don't like smoke or drink or anything? And I was like, oh, no, not really. And he's like, so what do you rap about? Like, and he was dead serious. What do you rap about? If you don't smoke or if you don't do drugs, what do you rap about? Like, and he said it in such, like, a confused way, and I think I just looked at him and then just, like, walked away. I was like, for real? For real? What do you rap about? Like, that's it. That's all there is to rap about. Drugs.
Well, you would think that, by the way, the radio sounds.
That's great. So, by my songs, you would think that. You would probably think that because I always rap about being insane and stuff like that. But it was just too funny the way this dude said it. He was just so clueless as to what was going on, and you could tell he was high on a million different things. And it was, I think she felt bad for bringing me out to him because she didn't realize how on a different level he was when she first started talking to him.
All right, so you know, there's actually a track, you know, that I do want to ask you about, which, you know, honestly is definitely one of my favorite tracks off of, you know, of course, your latest EP, which would be Your Ex-Girlfriend is a Bitch.
That's actually not my most recent EP. My most recent EP was Coffee Cups and Combat Boots, and it had, like, five tracks. But that song is a few EPs ago, but... That's funny, yeah. I mean, everything's a real situation, so that was, it was about someone, but I didn't make it specific enough to be a diss track, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was off of what, No Holds Barred?
Yeah, No Holds Barred. That was like, I don't know, 2010, 2011, you know what I mean? But it wasn't a diss track because the chick it was like kind of based on doesn't rap, so I'm not going to like come at someone that doesn't rap. I think that's totally not fair, you know what I mean? But I kind of loosely based it on her, but I made it very general that other people can relate to it. Because I think everyone has, you know, when you're a girl and you're dating someone, there's always, like, an ex-girlfriend in the picture somewhere that pops up that is their ex-girlfriend, you know, that you don't like. I think every girl can say that they've dated someone who they don't like their ex-girlfriend. And then guys have a lot of ex-girlfriends they don't like. So I really felt all around people could bump that song.
Hell yeah. Now, of course, a couple of years ago, you know, you did a cover to Airplanes. You know, what made you decide to do a cover to that track?
Yeah, I don't do too many covers usually, but when I do a, like, quote-unquote cover, it's a complete remake because obviously I'm not doing the same lyrics they've got. I also don't leave the chorus in. We completely redid all the instrumentals, too, so I didn't even grab the beat offline or anything like that. I had my buddy who plays several different instruments redo the entire instrumental with real instruments, real guitars, and make an acoustic version of Airplanes. And I had my friend sing the hook, and then I rapped verses for it, And, yeah, I just kind of – I like – if we're going to take on someone else's song, I feel like you really have to make it your own because at that point, I mean, come on. Like, you're taking on someone else's idea and creativity. You got to make it your own or else you're not showing your own creativity enough. So I've redone that song. I did a rap version of an Adele song once, you know what I mean? So I've touched a lot of different genres and a lot of forms of hip-hop. So no one can ever say in the future, like, oh, she's, you know, if I ever do a song that sounds like it's a radio song, even though I dissed the radio earlier, if I ever do a song that sounds like it could be played on the radio, no one could ever be like, oh, well, she's supposed to be underground and she's selling out because she did a song that, you know, like sounds like a radio song. I've always done both. I've always done songs that are dark. I've done songs that are more, you know, mainstream. I've done songs that are all over the board. So it's like no one could say I suddenly did it because it's always been there, you know.
Hell yeah. And now, you know, actually this actually goes hand in hand with my next question. And you said, like you did a remake, I made it your own with Airplane and Rolling in the Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there were any other tracks up there, you know, that you could do a cover of and make your own, what track and what artist's track would you cover and make your own?
Well, I think. I like a lot of the newer Eminem tracks. I know people are redoing those a lot. Like, I don't like to take a track that everyone likes to redo. But I know people are redoing Rap God a lot. I see, you know, a lot of MCs saying they're going to do the Rap God remake, which, good luck, because
yeah, right?
if you're taking something like that on, that's really ballsy, and I give you a lot of credit because Eminem's amazing and that song – a lot of people consider it to be a great song. So anytime you take on a hit song, it's got to be completely original and you got to come hard with it. But I think if it was going to be a newer M song, instead of that one, what's the one with Rihanna, the monsters, talking about monsters in her head and stuff? I think that one's tight. I like that one. That was one of my favorite from his newer album, and I think that would be a cool one to remake and right up my alley, of course, with all the voices in the head and stuff like that. So I'd remake that probably. We'll see. I've been really busy doing all my original music, and those offhand, maybe there's more. That's all I can think of offhand, though, that I've ever remade or, like, covered. You know, usually everything's original. I haven't even rapped on someone else's, like, beat. As far as, you know, not necessarily a remix, but you know how rappers will take really famous beats and completely do a different song on it? Like, I've never done that either. So it takes a lot for me to want to do someone else's song.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Gentlemen, do you got any more questions you want to ask?
What songs do you like to perform the most?
That's a good one. I do like performing Crazy a lot, even though it's my first song ever, and I rap better now, I feel like. I have songs where I feel like my rapping is better, but at the same time, that is a good performance song because it's so themed and theatrical. I've come out in straitjackets to that song. You know, I can always put on a good show with it. Any kind of song that has a theme to it is really easy to put on a good performance to. So Crazy is up there. Lately, Ferris Wheel has been up there just because of the fact it's on DJ Clay's mixtape. It's so popular amongst Juggalos, so when I do Juggalo shows, they instantly know what it is. Even if they didn't know who I was, they might put it together all of a sudden. Like, I'll be out, you know, doing a set, and then that song comes on. I'll see, like, moments of realization in their eyes when they realize, oh, she's the chick that did that song, you know, they didn't put it together, so they don't always know. So it's really cool when I do that song and people are singing along to it. So, and there's going to be a few good ones. I mean, not just a few good ones. I consider everything off of my new album to be a good song. So when that drops, there's going to be some really good ones, though, performance-wise, I think.
Yeah, I get to check out that album on my birthday, actually.
For real? The 31st is your birthday?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's what's up. Birthday present to you.
Hell yeah.
That's cool.
Now,
yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, of course. Okay, Michael wants to know, where is your vines at?
What did he say? Where's my what?
Are we talking vines, like the videos?
Yes.
You ever see any vines?
Oh, my vines.
Like,
oh.
Yeah.
No, man. Like, come on. Ever since Instagram has Insta videos, who needs Vine anymore? He's stuck on Vine. It's like MySpace. Let it go, man. Let it go.
So, sometimes you find some good things on there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There is a lot of funny stuff on there, but that's just too much, like, to have Instagram, Vine, you know, Facebook, Twitter. Like, I'm already on pretty much all the social networking sites. And I feel like people, ever since Instagram did come out with video, that they're just using that more. I don't think they're on Vine as much anymore. So,
now,
sorry, Vine.
Now, how long could those videos be? Like, 7 seconds too?
No, the Instagram videos can be longer. The Instagram videos are like, I don't know the exact time. I think it's like 10, 15 seconds, but it's longer than the Vine. And they don't just keep repeating. So.
Well,
and you can put filters on them. Come on, son.
Well, according to Michael, filters, I guess.
You there?
But, according to Michael, there's great porn on Vine.
Yes, he has said that to me before, which is always awkward because Michael has no, you know, reservation about telling me this weirdo shit. But, yeah, it's evidently it's not as strict as Instagram, which is pretty, I think, pretty strict, right, about what you can post. I think things get flagged and taken down. But I think Vine's just kind of like a free-for-all, like whatever. You can post whatever on there. If he's saying, like, I should be on Vine because of nudity, like, I think that's what I'm getting from this message. Like, what was that? He's like, yo, where's your Vines? There's a lot of porn on there.
Yeah, I think that's what he was getting at.
Desiree wants to know, when could she be featured on one of your tracks?
Des is awesome. Desiree, for people that don't know too, she does voiceovers for like a lot of my performances. So if she's not a rapper or anything, she's not on any tracks, but for like intros for my performance, I've had her voice on there. Like I've had her do like skits and stuff that I use during my live show. Like I've had her announce me like in my introduction and stuff for my show. And she is really good at multiple accents. She's really skilled like that. So I've had her do all sorts of weird weird recordings because it's always, we spice it up every time. I switch my show set around a lot too. That's one thing you can expect from me is, you know, every tour and, you know, my spot dates and stuff, my set is always switched around a little bit. I mean, there's definitely the fan favorite songs. I got to perform a lot of the same songs that fans really know and like, but as far as the order of the songs or what's happening in between songs and little skits and things going on during the set, that gets changed up a lot. So that's something we try to do.
Hell yeah. Michael wants to know, Xbox or PlayStation Go?
Yo, Michael knows. Okay, here's another thing. People, you guys are going to be like, she's so deprived. The thing is, not only have I not been on a roller coaster, but I have never owned a gaming console.
Never.
I've never owned any. No. When I was a kid, my parents were like, here's a stick. Play outside. But my dad actually has a PlayStation now, which is so funny. So, because he, you know, he plays Madden and stuff, but I don't live with them. So I'm going to have to go steal it but he has like a he has like a PlayStation. He waits till we grow up to get a gaming console. What kind of father are you? Thank you, Dad, for waiting for me to grow up so you could get a PlayStation for yourself. That's funny.
Michael wants to know, would you like a shot of adult?
Adult what?
Adult chocolate milk. He wants to know, would you like a shot of adult chocolate milk?
Adult chocolate milk. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear it all at first. Hell no. That stuff is my enemy, adult chocolate milk. I don't know if you guys have had it, but it's pretty much, it's strong as hell. Don't let it fool you. It's a bottle. It just looks like chocolate milk, and it tastes like chocolate milk, but it has a lot of alcohol in it. And I drank it one time on, I was live on Ustream, streaming with Mike, and what we did was, it was like I stream every Tuesday on the Toxic Network. I stream every Tuesday because I like to interact. You know, I miss them here and there because obviously touring and stuff like that. So I don't always do it, but I try as many Tuesdays as I can to stream to my fans. And we just go in there and we do stupid shit because I see a lot of artists go on Ustream all the time to talk to fans. But it's just kind of boring. They're usually kind of sitting there and just answering questions and stuff, and it's just, like, nothing visually to watch. So when we go on, we're always doing all sorts of challenges. Like, the first time I did it, we did that cinnamon challenge that everyone's always trying to do, and I had, like, 8 people doing it at one time. And we've done, like, eating challenges where, like, we'll be blindfolded and have to eat something and tell them what it is, and sometimes it's, like, dog food and weird stuff like that. But I was on one of the shows, I drank adult chocolate milk, and a whole bottle of it, mind you, because I thought it had no alcohol. I was like, this has barely any alcohol. I'm going to be fine. I drank this entire bottle of adult chocolate milk, and then I proceeded to wax my logo into Mike's chest. That's what we were doing for the show. I was getting drunk and waxing my logo into his chest. That was the goal, and I think the goal was accomplished because I think I did a pretty good job. I'm going to have that on YouTube pretty soon, but you could clearly see the W in his chest.
Nice.
Well, get OG, there you go, man. You can take that challenge.
Yeah, are you hairy? Are you a hairy guy?
It'd probably work, yeah.
He's like, oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson?
What?
You never seen 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Oh, okay. All right. I've seen that, yeah.
40-Year-Old Virgin, that's what that's from, when they're waxing him. And he's just screaming out random shit. Yeah, and he's just like, Kelly Clarkson, randomly. You guys thought I had Tourette's or some shit?
A little bit.
Probably true. But
speaking of weird things, though, you ever have to deal with a stalker before?
I've had to deal with people that were very aggressive about, like, messaging me on different, like, social networking sites and stuff like that, but I haven't had anyone, like, come to my house. So, knock on wood, I haven't had anything where someone, you know, in real life has followed me. I would say it's more so on the internet. And I've had to block people, unfortunately, because of it. I never want to, because obviously if they're following me, they're a fan of me, and I don't want to block them. But if it gets out of control with some of the stuff they're saying, it's like, all right, like, come on, man. Just take it easy, because I like to consider myself a nice person, and sometimes people take that the wrong way. Like, nowadays we live in a generation where, like, even if you're nice to someone, they think you're, like, flirting with them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's guys or girls. I'm not even just saying it's, like, girls with guys or whatever. I think if you're just nice to anyone, just a nice person, they're just going to be like, oh, you know, they want me. And they get something in their head, and then it's like, you don't want to be that mean person, but you have to end up just ignoring them or blocking them or whatever. So, yeah, I've had the issue. I'm sure in the future, I'll probably have it more, but hopefully not. Hopefully it won't get too bad. When someone comes to your house, that's a scary thing. Especially being a chick, you know. I know I'm aggressive in my songs, I act all tough and stuff, but, you know, someone coming to your house, that's just creepy, because then that's when you would be looking over your shoulder all the time. All it takes is, like, one person to do that, and then you're like, well, you know, who else knows where my house is, and that's fucking creepy. I don't even think you have to be any kind of entertainer to have stalkers. I'm sure everyone has had some kind of incident.
Yeah. Just ask Ghetto G.
You know.
Ask me. Who stalked me?
Come on, bud. Do you remember the thing that PK brought with him? Who ended up getting your ad?
Oh, yeah, the one that randomly somehow found out my name and my phone number.
What?
Yeah.
One of your friends hooked her up with your phone number.
Nope, not my friends. I don't know how she got that.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I don't even know who the person was, to be honest. It was somebody in another state.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's a celebrity right there.
I wish.
Yeah, because it's funny because of the fact he called her blocked, and then all of a sudden she got his name and number.
She liked the police.
She probably worked for the cops. Yeah, what the heck? That's crazy. Yeah, that is a scary thing because girls are crazy. You know, I
believe it.
Girls can be crazier than guys, like, with that stuff. I could see it. Because guys will, I don't know, they'll stalk you or whatever. Girls can, like, ruin your life. Like, they'll be charging shit to your credit card next. She probably got your credit card number.
Sure hope not.
You're, like, seeing Amazon charges. You're like, what? I didn't buy this blow-up doll that looks like me.
That'd be really amusing if that happened. Be like, what?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'd be just.
All
right, boys, I'm gonna go work on some collaborations. I owe a couple artist collaborations, so I gotta get on this because I have a studio session pretty early in the a.m.
Well, thanks for stopping by and chatting with us.
No doubt. 2-hour interview. I think this breaks record for any of my online interviews, to be honest. So that's pretty dope right there. 2014 just broke a interview record.
How we do.
That's tight. I mean, yeah, you guys definitely asked a lot of different things, a lot of weird questions that people probably got amused by. So I appreciate that. And thanks for your support. And knowing about my music and my albums, and I'm looking forward to the future, and hopefully I can come back with you guys when I'm even bigger.
Hell
yeah,
definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, you're always even if it's not for an interview, like, you're always welcome up on here no matter what.
That's what's up. I appreciate that, guys. So you have a kick-ass Thirsty Thursday, or technically it's Friday morning. Hit a diner. Have sex with a zombie.
Sounds
and
good.
All that good stuff. And get my album On the Brink on the 31st. All your fans that listen, you know, you can go to facebook.com/WhitneyPaytonMusic, Twitter @WhitneyPayton. I'm pretty much on all your favorite social networking sites, minus Vine and MySpace. So I'll see you guys on there. And thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Peace out.
Peace.
And by the way, we still got the dude from the 410 with us. I just ended up putting him on mute because of I can't play music.
Oh, I thought he left like an hour ago.
Damn, yeah, I thought I was on mute. I'm sitting there talking and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, sorry, man. It's just the fact that, you know, you can't play music over and over and
kind of hard to hear and talk.
Yeah, I was jamming out a little bit and switching it up.
But Ghetto Man, I got to say, the Attitude Era DVD does indeed have one of my favorite matches up on there, man.
And which one's that?
I'd be Undertaker and Stone Cold versus Kane, Mankind, the New Age Outlaws, and The Rock, and then D'Lo Brown.
Yeah, it was a good match.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was, man. I mean, shit, WWE nowadays sucks.
And I don't like it no more, man. It sucks.
Yeah, you'll never see wrestling on that DVD.
I loved it when it was Stone Cold Sting and fucking Shawn Michaels and shit back in the day.
Well, he still got Sting. He just doesn't do anything, though.
It ain't the same. He ain't coming from the Raptors with the bat and shit.
No, now he's just coming out with no face paint, no nothing, crying to some dude that does nothing.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Ghetto, not sure if you saw tonight, but EC3 pinned Sting.
Come on, see what I mean?
Who beat him?
But only because of the fact you had Rockstar Spud and Magnus as a special guest referee.
A bunch of nonsense on TNA has happened, man. You know who this retarded dude nowadays is? EC3.
Shit's funny nowadays, man.
Is that a yes?
They don't got the fucking Wolfpack and shit and all that shit.
No, that's been gone forever.
That was the shit, though, the Wolfpack. I remember as a little kid walking around torture racking kids in elementary school.
Nice.
I used to torture rack my little cousin all the time and shit, me and my homeboy.
I usually just put people in, like, the Taz mission. That's about it.
Yeah.
Maybe a Boston Crab, a clover leaf, something like that.
Yeah, but, like, shit. I actually ended up putting this one kid that I went to school with back in middle school and ended up on a crossface.
See, these are the reasons why they put the things. Please do not try this at home. Because there was a story where a kid did a rock bottom to this other kid in a bowling alley and killed him.
Well, I think the funny thing is I didn't even do it at home. I did it at school.
You did it at school. Were you in a fight or something, or you just randomly threw him in the crossface?
I just randomly threw him into the crossface.
What the fuck?
Because when he got up, his fucking jaw was bleeding from it, too.
Come on, man. What the hell? You a small-ass dude. Was this a big-ass dude or something? Small-ass dude?
Nah, he was bigger than me.
What the fuck, man?
I mean, just because of the show, fucking small people are crazy.
This is very true, man. I believe it. I know a few crazy short people.
Yeah. Toria being one of them.
Man, she's not short.
How tall is she?
I don't know. 5-something. But she ain't short, though. She ain't like, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. But she ain't that short, though.
Yeah, and that dude left us, by the way.
Well, that's not very nice.
But prepare yourself, because tomorrow night, or technically tonight, Jester Jake is going to be stopping by.
Where the hell was he at tonight?
Apparently he was passed out. Well, apparently he was worn out, so he said that he might not have been able to make it tonight.
Man, that dude was talking earlier today, talking about you better be here. And then he didn't even come. What kind of shit is that? I should slap all three personalities of his.
You should.
I don't even know how to explain that, dude.
don't think anybody does.
Like, I called him one name, and he was like, no, blah, 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 blah. Like, no shit. Like, do I have to call you all three of the names at once?
Probably.
Jeez.
Hey, look, I'm not even bothered looking at the fucking bike page, but it turns out we had a question from somebody on the like page.
What happened?
I said apparently we had a question from Whitney Payton from somebody on our like page.
Come on, man. Nobody looks at that page. What was the question?
Well, has Whitney ever come close to being kicked out of a venue?
Well, we answered your question, my friend.
Yes, we did.
We answered that actually a few times during the interview. But as for whoever that person was talking about, apparently those people don't want to be well known and liked.
Probably
getting kicked
not.
Out, getting kicked out of everything and fighting with everybody.
Yeah, right.
That's not a good thing, man.
Hell nah.
But they're proud of it, though, apparently.
Yeah, they are.
That was a bit strange to having to keep hearing about that.
So, Gittleman, have you ever had toxic waste?
What?
I said, have you ever drank toxic waste?
No.
Well, apparently someone made a fucking alcohol of it, and he called it Jersey's toxic waste. It's 33% alcohol.
I don't even know what that is.
Out of some kind of nice form of fucking booze from Jersey.
Yeah, must be something Snooki drinks.
But I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, one of the things, anyway.
Because that bitch drinks about, like, fucking 10,000 bottles a year.
Yeah. Within, like, I don't know, she drinks a lot.
Yeah, she does. She should just go away. Drink
well,
herself into a coma.
Well, nowadays she's pretty much gone, so that's good.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just because I don't watch MTV.
Probably.
Because it's nothing but whores and pregnant teenagers. Well, which fall under whores. But yeah.
Yeah. They're such perfect role models.
Yeah, what was it on the news talking about? They, because of the fucking Teen Mom shows on there, whatever, apparently reduced the pregnant teens nowadays or something like that. Reduced teenagers from getting pregnant, which I don't believe at all.
I don't either. Man, I held that in for 2 hours.
Damn. You could have took a piss break between, like, I don't know, when that other dude was talking.
Yeah, I could have. Didn't really think to do so at the time.
Because he was talking for a good couple of minutes there, man. You had a perfect opportunity.
Well, yeah. I probably should just unmute him more. But, yeah.
Yeah, man, you were slacking on your job. You just let dude keep going.
Yeah, right.
You know, simply when I pointed out there's somebody dying in the background, And
yeah, that was him.
And then Whitney, you need to turn down, but yet the dude was still there.
Yeah, right.
Well, at least her people showed up. So.
Yeah, right. And unfortunately, Dusty came back.
She said she was going to be here. She said that like a few days ago.
Yeah, I completely forgot that she was going to come here.
Because she commented on the promo that I posted.
Yeah, that's probably why. Whenever I see her comment, I tend to just, you know, ignore it.
Well, I mean, it was during the process of me posting in a bunch of groups and shit, so I saw it. You know, otherwise I wouldn't have never seen it, because it doesn't, like, pop up, you know?
Now I'm on the Rock versus Mankind match.
Yeah, that match was kind of boring.
Oh yeah.
But I did enjoy the Buried Alive tag team match, which Triple H won, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That Lion's Den match wasn't that bad.
Yeah, that was a good one back in the day there.
Hell yeah, bud.
Now, see, when they said Lion's Den match, I was kind of thinking the, what was that other match? In, like, the basement or some shit?
Yeah, right.
What was the name of that match?
I don't remember what that was called.
With, like, I want to say Steve Blackman. We're like, they had that, on the third disc, they got Val Venus versus Rikishi for the Intercontinental title in a cage match with Teddy Long as the referee.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, Teddy Long? What the fuck? I mean, I remember him being a referee, but like, I don't remember him being in matches like this.
Yeah, right.
And then they had the Armageddon, you know, Hell in a Cell match on there.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten to that yet. I'm still on disc two.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about that, man, they say special features, but then they don't have any special features.
Yeah, all the special features are just the matches and interviews.
It's just all the matches that are on the actual DVD itself. Like, really?
But, I mean, you know, the good thing about this DVD is the fact, you know, we actually get to relive, like, the full-out fucking matches, like, you know, that were back in the editor, like, you know, the full, like, I mean, shit, like, we got to witness, like, the full-out Four Corners tag match. You know, like
I'm saying, it's only certain matches, though, man. Like, we didn't get to relive, like, things that we saw all the time, like the Ministry, the Brood,
yeah.
You know, shit like that, man. We only saw bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it was mainly revolved around, like, The Rock, Austin, and DX, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And back whenever The Undertaker was the biker, man, he had some terrible entrance music.
He really did.
I was like, this fucking thing sucks. But I liked Triple H's music back then, though. Back in, like, 99.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, like I say, like, it's funny how foreigners get, you know, special privileges, you know, at jobs.
Like what?
Like the fact that this one dude, Giannos,
he used, like, you know, like, he used to be on carts like I am, but because of the fact he was rude to customers outside, they put him inside in produce.
And where you were?
I was in the, well, no, I was in the meat department, but, and now it's even funny, fact, like, you know, he gets, like, customers who come up to him, like, you know, ask him for help. And, okay, you know, it's our job to where, like, you know, if a customer comes up and asks you a question, ask you for help, for, you know, to stop what you're doing and help the customer. He don't do that. He says, he turns to the customer and goes, I'm busy, or leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Yeah, right, dude. That's that's terms to get fired on,
man. Yeah, well, funny enough, he's still there.
Leave me alone. That's some shit I'd say.
Man, I mean, come on, man. Like, you know, if it was someone like you or me, like a fucking white person, or, you know, an actual American that was to say that to a customer, we'd be fired in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
But this dude's from fucking Hungary, like he's Hungarian or something like that. And
he's from Hungary. Seriously. I never met anybody from Hungary.
Yeah, he's from Hungary, and it's funny because the only thing you ever really understand from him, because, you know, he don't speak English that good, but the only thing he knows how to say is, well, leave me alone or cussing.
Or what?
Cussing, you know. Like, fuck this, fuck you.
Well,
like that.
Wait, hold on. He swears in English, though?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I have no idea.
Shit, man, I want to be able to swear in another language, so it won't be expected, you know?
Yeah, this motherfucker is definitely not expected.
You know, kind of like what Alberto Del Rio does.
Yeah. Man, it's so... speaking of Del Rio, what about Del Rio? Are you ready for this Monday, man? Batista comes back.
That's right. I don't know, man. I'm excited to see him come back, but I don't want him to cry like a little bitch again.
Yeah, right.
Or he's going to come back like Jericho did and just diss the fans and say, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, and some of the matches on there, you got Michael Cole on commentary, and you see him, man, he looks all retarded.
Man, he always looks retarded, though.
But I'm just saying, he's all, like, he's all skinny and, like, you know, facial hair and looks retarded and shit. Nowadays, you know, he's has no facial hair. You know, he's kind of fatter.
Yeah, I think those were the days when, you know, yeah, I think those were like more of his crackhead days.
But I do wish they would have had a lot more diva material on there.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, all you see on there is like a little bit of Lita, a little bit of Trish, and then
yeah,
and then you see Deborah come out, and that's about it.
Man, there's an episode of the JBL and Cole show I'm trying to find.
Man, I could care less about that show.
But the only reason why I'm curious to find that one is because Steve Blackman makes a small appearance in there and starts making fun of JBL and Teddy Long.
Steve Blackman still exists in the WWE?
I mean, he comes back from, I think, every now and then.
What the hell does he do?
I don't know.
And I think the last thing I remember about him was him smacking Shane McMahon in the head with a kendo stick and him falling off the Titantron.
What has happened to this company?
So we need to go back to that.
What has happened to this company?
Hey, Sig Meister, lead the web. Great to see you. How you doing? Man, that makeup's just not cutting it.
In other words, you're still ugly. And now he comes up on the fucking Teddy Long. He's wearing a fucking blonde wig, getting makeup done.
What the hell?
Yeah, right.
What has happened to this company?
It's gone downhill.
Hey, JBL. Hey, Cole. John Gruden, Monday Night Football here.
Shut up.
You guys have been scouting.
They don't care about your football. No, I think Steve Blackman actually opened up his own school for martial arts. Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania, actually. It's in Harrisburg, called Blackman MMA.
Speaking of which, freaking that Extreme Rising thing's coming to Pittsburgh in February.
Hell yeah.
They got, like, Stevie Richards versus Sabu. Then they got Rhino versus somebody. And a bunch of other shit.
Let's see. Let's see what other matches they got coming up for that.
I mean, I just read it earlier, but I forget what the fuck they are because I don't know who the hell the people are.
Let's see. Man, I didn't want fucking that. I wanted this. There you go. Stream Rising. Now they tell me what the matches are. Okay, so fuck you.
Man, go to then, what the hell? The hell is it on Facebook? Extreme Reunion or some shit like it.
There we go. Yeah, it's going to be because it'll be Steve Richards defending the Extreme Rising World Championship against Sabu, I could probably find more stuff here. Let's see, roster. It's going to be, let's see who all is on this roster here. Steve Richards, Matt Hardy, Sabu, Crowbar, Bestia, 666, Jerry Lynn, Luke Hawk, Hacks, whatever. Balls Mahoney, Homicide, Pesadilla, or Dia, whatever. Blue Mini, Perry Saturn, The Sad Man, Blackout, which was supposed to be made up of someone, and JTG, Shane Douglas, Tony Mameluke, C.W. Anderson, New Jack, Pitbull, Gary Wolf, The Dramatics, Little Guido, Axel Rotten, Mustafa, Raven, and Al Snow with Head.
Huh. Thought he was in TNA.
He is. Well,
as like a nobody.
Well, yeah, he is. Apparently, Rey Mysterio is a part of this too.
He should not be a part of anything extreme.
Yeah, exactly. He'll get injured.
That's exactly my point.
Let's see if I can find other matches here. Yep, here we go. Matt Hardy with Reva Sky, Rebby Sky, and Rich Beast Ortiz versus Luke Hawk and Howard Hawks and Homicide. A Falls County War match with Rhino versus Devon Storm. Tag team battle, Blackout versus DHS. Balls Mahoney in a hardcore match. Greek God, Papadon, Blue Me, The Sod, Man Scout. It looks like they got some pretty good shows coming. Yeah, man, you should definitely go to it.
It's going to be over here, man, not too far away. It's like maybe 20 minutes, not even, if we're away.
Yeah, man,
I just don't know where the fuck is that, though. I've never heard of the place.
It's the Irish Center of Pittsburgh.
It's in Squirrel Hill. Clearly it says that. But I don't know where the fuck that street's at.
Yeah, no clue.
The last time it came here, man, it was a further away, though. But this is a hell of a lot closer. I wonder if John the Animal Steel's going to that.
Yeah, probably.
Since he goes to all these wrestling events. You know, meet and greets and all that shit.
Let's see. Okay, they actually updated it. It's, I guess we know it's Steve versus Sabu. Rhino versus the Dark One, a.k.a. Devon Storm. I don't know who the fuck Devon Storm is. Let's find out who the fuck that is. Yeah, they didn't tell you who the fuck that is. Okay, Crowbar. I don't know who the fuck he is.
Whoever the fuck Crowbar is.
Okay, Crowbar used to be part of WWF. From like 97 to 99, then he went to WCW, then hit the independent circuit.
I see.
Let's see then. We also got Loathsome Jay Bradley versus Greek God Papadon. Luke Hawk versus Rich Beast Ortiz, aka Ricky O Ortiz. I think I remember him.
Apparently, he was in the WWE.
Yeah, and ECW. And well, it's funny because it just puts WWE, ECW, and then SmackDown. You know, SmackDown's the same thing for WWE.
Wow, SmackDown fucking sucks.
Let's see. Spray Paint versus Straight Edge Neon Ninja Sod versus M Dog 20 Matt Cross.
These are some hell of names right here.
Yeah, right.
Like, we call yourself Spray Paint, really?
Tag Team Battle. Blackout G's and Ruckus versus DHS Danny Math and Monster Mac, a hardcore match featuring Balls Mahoney. Plus more matches to be announced.
Yep.
Those could probably begin updated again closer to the next matches. Now, if only they would come to Connecticut, then I'd go.
Nothing comes to Connecticut? No wrestling things?
Well, WWE comes, but they don't come any. They was saying to me that they're fucking 30 minutes away in fucking Bridgeport.
Oh.
And, I ain't going 3 minutes out of my way for anything, so fuck that.
That's not even that far, man.
Well, it depends. Because there's two ways to Bridgeport. You can take the highway or the back roads. Back roads.
But I'm just saying, you just said it's only 30 minutes. That's not that far away.
Well, when you ain't got a car, yeah, it is.
Does your mom have a car?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You just solved your problem.
Yeah, I'll give you my license next.
That would help, too.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's holding me back, because I ain't got my license yet.
What the hell are you waiting for?
My income tax, because then that way I can pay, that way I can pay the entire thing.
Pay for what?
For my license.
What do you mean, pay for your license?
Man, it costs like $400 to get, just for me to get my license here.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, it costs $400 for, like, you know, for me to go for my license.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Because of the fact that you gotta pay for, you know, for the license itself, gotta pay for the fucking drug and alcohol class you gotta take.
What? Why do you gotta take a drug and alcohol class?
I don't fucking know.
I thought this was the DMV. What the fuck?
It is.
Not alcohol is anonymous.
Yeah, well, they charge you for fucking.
Because what is it, man? Like, you go for a permit test, and if you pass that, then you get paid like $5 to get a permit. So that's fine. And then you go for a driver's test, which is free. And then if you pass, then I believe you do pay for the license, but not $400.
Yeah, my cousin's boyfriend ended up paying $400 for his license.
Yeah, I don't know where the fuck you live at, but that doesn't sound reasonable at all. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah. It's just weird.
I mean, when I got my license, man, I got it at the easiest fucking place ever. And now that place is gone. So now these people around here, they have to go to a place that's a little harder.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But as for paying $400, I highly doubt that.
he did.
What, and that motherfucker's on crack or something?
Yes. He is.
Like, are they saying that you're on drugs and you're an alcoholic? Like, what the
It's possible.
Like, wow. I don't know what I would say if I passed the driver's test in there. Like, well, you know, you gotta go to AA. Like, what the fuck for? I didn't realize I was an alcoholic. Like you just saw me drive. And you trusted me behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
Now where does that make you? Shit, man, that's my permit, man. I got that on one try. And I didn't even really read the fucking book. I like skim through it.
Yeah, that's what I do with my book.
I remember this one dude, man. He kept going for his permit and shit, but like he kept failing. But the one time he was there, I remember him texting me asking me questions and shit. Like, what's the answer to this question? Like, meanwhile, you're not allowed to do that. But, yeah, even then, man, I think it still took him a few more years after that to finally get his license.
Yeah.
I've had my license since I was 18. A long fucking time ago.
Oh, texting didn't really help much.
No?
I said, so I guess texting didn't help much.
No, I said I've had my license since I was 18.
Yeah,
As for him, I don't know when to... No, it didn't help him, no. Clearly. I don't know when he even got his license. I think it might have been like a year or two ago or something.
Oh, man, gotta love fucking Ducky, though.
Why is that?
Because supposed to be saying, coot equals cute, this equals this, that equals that, you equals you, is equals is, R equals R, me equals me, number equals number. If I see you type like above, I assume you never went to school and you're that uneducated. Get a dictionary, open it, read it, learn it.
Well, I guess she would hate you then.
No, I mean, she's talking it.
With your yours. I'm sure she was probably ripping herself apart when she saw you use the wrong yours. What the fuck is this dumbass doing? He thinks just because he reads comic books too, he can get away with it.
That's funny because, like, actually fighting with somebody up on up on that status too, like fucking fucking correcting this one person the entire time. As the fucking dude put D gap in it. And she fucking corrects him going, don't give a fuck.
Well, you know, you only correct people when you want to piss them off.
Yeah.
Or even if you just do it just to do it and the person gets mad. People people get mad about everything.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's about, that's just going on and on about that shit.
That'll never stop.
Nope.
Glad I'm not on that status. I guess since that guy's not around, I think now would be a good time to play Tekken.
No,
I'm just kidding. I don't even want to play it.
Yeah, well, I downloaded it just for hell, then. I'm not done how we're going to play it.
And I did not. But yeah, man, you know that damn video you sent me yesterday. Like, today I realized that video was posted back in 2011. But I did send that email, the email to her, though, if the thing's even active anymore. Asking about that video. But, probably be like, no, motherfucker. That shit was back in
2011. Damn.
Well, at least that's what I would reply.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how people are just now liking my just now liking the fucking status and shit too of Whitney Payton.
October. Punch people in the face.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a bunch of likes and bullshit, man, but as usual, nothing.
Yeah, right.
At least it was a good interview, though, regardless.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
she was rather amazed that I said that we'd known her since MySpace.
Yeah, and she fucking loved the Walmart question.
People usually do.
Yeah, she seemed kind of shocked though by the would you fuck a zombie prostitute?
Well, that's to be expected.
Well, yeah, because I don't think anybody expects to be asked that question.
No, not at all.
Yeah, what's even funny is the fact that I actually used to ask that question, and then for some odd reason, Chrissy decided to steal it and ask it because of the fact he couldn't think of an original question.
Yeah, man, you stole my fucking question. I was like, did he really just ask that?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I didn't know if you, you know, I didn't know if, like, if you could ask it or...
Man, I only got so many questions I asked myself, and then when you steal them, then I have nothing. But I am surprised you didn't ask her about Illego.
Oh, yeah, man, yeah, I completely forgot about that question.
But you asked her about everything else, though.
Yeah. So how about the fact that I was using Google just now to try and find that wrestler spray paint? And it pops up. In WCW, how did wrestlers remove the NWO spray paint off their backs?
Well, how did they do it?
Well, let's see. Jim Crockett says, I've never asked a WCW wrestler that or anything about the NWO. And somebody else commented saying, it's called a shower, dumbass.
But how do you fucking reach your back, though? Like, it's all,
I don't know. Some dude named Red Rooster said they went to Briscoe Brothers Body Shop and got a new paint job.
Wow, that was fucking lame.
It really was.
Is there a real answer? Do we really know how?
No, there's no real answer.
Well, I would assume they would take a shower, but, like, spray paint would be a bitch to get off.
Yeah, it would.
And especially if you can't see it. Or reach it.
Yeah, I don't know. This weird, it's just like a weird question. You know, completely weird answers.
Oh, of course. I forget where I saw, but this person did make a good point. When are we going to see, like, somebody off a psychopathic on ICP Theater?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, why don't they bring, like, you know, like ABK on there and shit?
Yeah, or, I don't know. Like, even though they're not like contract, but I think I want to bring fucking Twist up in there.
Yeah, or like even Big Hoodoo, since you don't ever hear anything about him.
Yeah.
But no, they just keep bringing up all these other people.
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm complaining about them bringing Coco in now.
They've only had one female though.
Yeah, Coco.
Yeah. But at least they didn't get all gay though. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a chick. You know how like who was that one person they were talking to? Talking about he would jerk off to him.
Oh God, I'm trying to. I don't even remember the person's name. I don't even think I want to.
Who the fuck was that?
I don't even remember.
Damn, it was on the first season.
Shit, but like, how about the fact that fucking Shaggy put his hands on fucking Devontae's shoulder, but Devontae's like, get that shit off me.
I'm going to keep it there the whole show. But then right after that, it was no longer there.
Yeah, right? Let's see. Let's see if I can find out who was on season one. Wasn't Godfrey. Maybe it was Big J. Oakerson. Let's see, it was Godfrey, Big J. Oakerson, Scott Hall, Tom Green, Coolio, Gilbert Gottfried, and Jim Norton, and Vanilla Ice.
Man, it was definitely Scott Hall. It was that episode.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Scott Hall was probably fucking creeped out by that, too.
You think?
I'm watching more of the Rock vs. Mankind.
Well, we may as well end it here then.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow night.
All right, peace.
Peace.